Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chris and Andre Show.
Oh, gosh. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Chris and Andre Show. We're super glad you joined us. I'm Andre.
I'm Chris.
And we also are joined by a friend of the show, Joe, and he is killing those.
They're so good. I didn't think air frying would make them so much better.
Air frying makes everything better, Joe. I thought we talked about that before.
When you bring that cooking segment, just me air frying random things.
All right. We're super glad you guys are hanging out with us today. We really appreciate it. We talk about everything from cooking or eating to politics, religion, you name it. We'll talk about it. And we don't get paid for our opinions, but it makes it probably easier for us to talk about them.
That's true. So, we don't have any financial or sponsorship obligations to fulfill, and therefore we get to just ramble on for hours about the most inane
subjects. In
short,
they don't pay me to be here.
Damn right we don't. If you happen to be watching on YouTube, make sure that you hit the like button. Also, that was a weird way to say that, like button. Also, make sure to subscribe and hit the little bell for notifications so that you know when we've got new episodes or clips that are posting. If you're listening on Spotify, thank you. Please give us a 5-star review or just leave an honest review. It doesn't have to be 5 stars. If you think that we really deserve 6, write a letter to Spotify and let them know.
And to quote Chris from earlier, if you like a heavy breathing ASMR video for me, just hit us up.
Just go to TikTok and search for Fire Guy Joe, and I'm sure he'll have plenty posted by the end of the week.
With all that said and done, let's talk about politics.
Woohoo! The fun stuff.
It's time for politics.
Pardon me. So it's...
You are pardoned, sir.
We are already in 2022, and the progressive wing of the Democratic Party or Democrat Party is losing their mind. They have decided that since we can't get what we want, let's consider primarying the incumbent president that we've rode the coattails on as far as a party so far, because that makes a lot of sense.
I'm probably 95% uninterested in the progressives at this point. Like, it's unfortunate because there are a lot of, they share a lot of similarities with the opposite end of the spectrum.
Are you saying your opinion on progressive is regressive?
No, well, I mean, maybe. It's aggressive. I think that, look, we've talked about this before, like, it's, how difficult is it to celebrate the small wins, right? Like, A, you have to go for the small wins in order to be able to celebrate them and achieve them. And so, like, they're not doing that. But then at the same time, you have... like the progressive part of the party that is pushing for, well, we're still not, like, we need to be pushing for even more radical things. And it's like, look, would it be great if we could get to some of that stuff? Is some of the, sure, okay, maybe eventually, but we're not in a place to just do that right now. This isn't Magicville, right? We don't actually live in Disneyland, and we can't just wave a magic wand to make these things happen. So while, you know, eliminating all college debt and making all university, everybody gets to go to Harvard for free, right? Like, even if, you know, it's like, no, that doesn't make any sense. That's not, that's a bad use of resources, right? Like, but at the same time, you know, are there things that we could be looking at doing to make student loan processes less predatory, to make, you know, the interest rates lower or more affordable or whatever it is, you know, that we could do
tuition based on product provided versus product expected.
Sure, but these universities can't be expected not to charge an exorbitant amount of money when people are willing to pay it.
Well, that's the problem. A lot of times it's not them paying it. It's the government funding process.
Oh, no. I mean, I fully understand. This is all just like a huge slush fund.
Yeah. You're not going to argue.
Borrow money from the government to give it to the institutions and then pay the government back. Yeah. Like, it's. I mean, this is what our government spends most of its time doing, both Democratic and Republican members. Like, we're just moving money from one millionaire or billionaire or trillionaire group to another.
You gotta have shell games.
Find the queen, right? Like, where's the red lady? And that's exactly, it's just moving it from here to here. Do you remember a few years ago when we found all of those illegal offshore accounts and everybody was going to get in trouble? And did anything actually happen? Anybody remember that?
I remember it. That's why I'm not convinced on the January 6th.
I was just going to say, 363 days ago, we had an insurrection, and still very little's been done about that. So I don't know. Like, I'm just...
I'm amused by by what they're doing. I understand why they're doing it. Like I've said before, if their movement and their political views are that important, and there's enough people that support it, like, really create your own party and build it to where it's actually a party.
I mean, and look, I understand criticizing, like, I understand sitting there and saying, I don't think the president's doing enough, or I don't think the Democratic Party's doing enough, right? Like, as a sitting member of the government, I'm fine with you having your own opinions on these things. I do agree, like, right, let's be realistic about this. Is primarying a sitting president really the best option, right? Like, there's
primary
a debate whether or not he's going to even be around, like, he's going to run again in 4 years, right?
What doesn't
like,
make sense is primarying an incumbent president within the party you're attached to, where you're the minority in that party. That doesn't make sense.
Well,
to me.
Like, how are you actually going to execute that plan, right? Like,
right.
They don't control enough, even at the grassroots level, right, where there seems to be a larger maybe percentage or proportion that is maybe, you know, influenced by the progressive part of the party. But even then, like, I don't even think
that's necessarily true,
right?
Yeah.
It's they just are the ones who tend to make the most noise and therefore get the most coverage at places like, you know, CNN and MSNBC and even Fox News, right? Like, you know,
Fox News likes to paint them out as like vampires that will steal your children.
Well,
so,
no, right? It's the what is the evil villain group from Spider-Man?
The Sinister Six.
Yeah, isn't that basically what Fox News paints, like AOC and Ilhan Omar and all those people? Like, this is the Sinister Six in the Senate. Like,
except that movie,
they're not
so good.
They're not that creative. But
no. See, so I'm. Aren't you glad that I don't use my powers for evil? Like, I could be out here.
I'm pretty confident you could be selling out to the cronies at Fox, and hey, let's rebrand. What do they call them anyway? The squad. Let's rebrand the squad.
Sinister Six. Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of scared now that we're putting that out there. That might become a thing. Like, if in a week Fox News is running that, I'm going to be very upset. Somebody's going to send this to them and be like, guys, we have been missing this the whole time.
Well, anyway, it's just, it goes back to, I ran across this article in Politico. It's really interesting. You guys probably haven't had a chance to read it, but it talked about New Year's, right? And what I'm going to say is probably going to connect on to some CRT stuff and the whole history debate that we can have, where we have like two different versions of, you know, what we call American history. Well, this article is talking about like the reality of New Year's in a lot of states that were in the slave trade. And like New Year's Eve was the day they would actually take slaves to market and trade them off and barter them to reduce their debt load. And it actually coined the phrase of whatever you're doing New Year's Eve is what, or New Year's, you'll be doing the rest of the year. That's actually where that came from. So when I read that, I was like, well, that just ruined my whole New Year's Day because I wasn't aware of it, you know. But I was like, wow, let's go New Year's Eve. It's like, I don't know if, like, I'm probably still going to celebrate it, but it just, the baggage of that day in history is kind of, it's kind of heavy when you think about it.
It is. And I think, but, you know, it's one of those things, right? Like, the New Year's Eve wasn't created for that purpose, but there is an element, right, associated with American history and the slave trade that ties directly to New Year's Eve. And so it's, I don't know, like, New Year's Eve to this point, and maybe it's just part of it is age and, you know, like, New Year's Eve used to be like this really big thing when I was younger, you know, like getting to stay up late and celebrate until midnight and see the time, woo! And then when I could drink, legally or not, then it was all about like, oh, it's an excuse to just get shit-faced. And now it's just kind of like, it's just another day. Like, we went out to dinner. We had a nice dinner. And then we came home, and that was pretty much it. It was just like...
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. I was playing... My father came over, as he does every so often. I can't say every year, but every so often. And we were all ready to watch the ball drop. We had 4 hours till, and he was like, yeah, let's play some games. And we just played Halo and Call of Duty. And it wasn't until my grandfather came in and was like, hey, the ball's about to drop. We're like, oh, yeah. Congratulations. Yeah, okay, whatever. We got a load screen to get through.
Mm-hmm. I was dancing until like 4 o'clock.
You sent pictures.
What? I think I keep thinking I'm like 1 year away from not doing that anymore. I keep doing it. So.
Well, good for you, man. I mean, like, you're doing better than I am.
Well, yeah, my wife and I, we met dancing, and I love, like, you know, I love to dance, and I love salsa music.
I was about to say, like, the Latino thing is strong. You can't, I don't think you can give it up.
Oh, no, I can't.
Like, no, that was part of the marriage contract.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you're down, I'm down. Okay. But yeah, just something to think about for, and I know it's not to be divisive to bring that up. It's just that even if you take you remove the context of CRT out of it, we have like some gaps in history like that we just don't talk about. And, I just think it's important to be able to talk about it.
Agree. And I think, you know, it's like, it's one of those things where I think part of the issue that we run into right now is that some of the people that are participating in those conversations feel an element of guilt or responsibility or association with some of, like, their, you know, ancestors and stuff like that. And I think that there's an, like, yeah, you have to come to terms with that, but at the same time, recognize that you're not that same person, right? Like, if you're not carrying on those same practices and beliefs, you're not responsible for what your father or grandfather or great grandfather did. Like, you know,
it's interesting.
Am I wrong on that?
We've talked about that. You and I have talked about that, you know, dealing with some stuff that I've dealt with where it's like people get offended when you call, like, you say somebody's racist. It's like, no, it's not you, or it's like Billy, you know. To all the Billies out there, I'm not calling you racist.
And I was speaking to
someone. But you probably are.
Yeah. And I was actually having this conversation the other day because with somebody that said, basically when you bring the conversation around, you know, black, white, or...
Wait, did you have a conversation with a racist Billy?
No, okay. Just a family member. And
just and a racist, like, family member.
Sure, sure. Yeah, they, just... They were saying they get turned off by it. I'm like, look, that's great. I mean, you're allowed to, but the reason why everything goes back to that same issue is because we can kind of acknowledge what happened, but we never really address the why. Yeah. And until we can address the why, people are always going to bring up the symptoms, and then you never really fix anything. And I understand and appreciate how people get frustrated by, well, why does it always have to be about, you know, race? Well, because there are some things you have to talk about, but you can't be afraid to talk about those things.
Right. The whole idea in my mind, right, is like, if you want to move forward, which I think is the goal in most people's minds, right? It's like on the people who are anti-CRT seem to be, well, we don't want to talk about the past because that's really divisive. We all just want to move forward together, right? Like, that's part of the messaging, at least, I think, in some of it. And it's like, in order to do that, you have to be able to understand what has happened and why some of this sentiment socially already exists, right? You can't just, again, like, we're not in Magic Land. You can't wave a magic wand and have all of this just history and you know.
Yeah, I think we're in a really like, nice position, like, as a society. We're in the discovery phase, as we would call it, where we're all, you know, out of a nice adult age, and we can learn things for ourselves and share it for ourselves versus having the you know, educational system cram it down our throat. So we're seeing a lot of inconsistencies with storyline, history lines, and we're learning, you know, a lot more about these famous African Americans and Latinos and Indians and all that.
Like George Washington Carver.
Yeah, but continuing.
You know George.
What I was saying is, you got to think about it like this. There's a strong percentage of the society that is so jaded about the topic of race that they just want to say, well, everything's good now. We're not that anymore. Let's stop talking about it. But yeah, it's, you know, having lived in the South most of my life and being a person of color, I can tell you, by not talking about it, you incite it to come back in small ways. And those small ways develop into bigger prejudices, you know, over time. And I know a lot of people think that's not true, especially, you know, how progressive North Carolina is getting right now. But if I have to go to work and people are still making racist jokes off the cuff that no one asked about to me, expecting me to, you know, stomach it like it's like on the chin or something, that's a problem. Right. Right? We have a deep-seated problem we're not discussing anymore. So yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's not like we like walking up to white people and be like, "Hey, let's talk about racism." You know, it's one of those things where we have right. There's times when we have to bring it up.
If anything, it's the other way around, where it's the white person. Hey, can we talk about racism?
Oh my God, your hair! You know, like, why is it always like that? Can I touch it?
Yeah, there's a lot of things, and I just
Chris felt that one.
I think it's,
yeah, I mean, but it's like, I don't know. It's interesting because growing up in California, going through the educational system there, like one of my favorite memories was we did an overnight stay at this place called Sutter's Fort, right? And Sutter's Mill, Sutter's Creek, like that whole Sutter was one of the guys who built this fort and was kind of running Sacramento during the gold rush and all this stuff, right? And during the gold rush, like, there was massive amounts of, you know, like forced labor, right? Whether from Asian immigrants and that sort of stuff. And so, like, that whole part of that story was just ignored, essentially. Now, granted, this was a fourth grade trip, so I'm not saying that it should have been like, you know, hey, this is exactly what happened. But, you know, like, there was no element of that was ever really discussed or brought up. And so, and I'm saying, like, this is an example of, like, this is growing up in California, one of the places that's considered to be, like, a very liberal, you know, state. And so, yeah, like, I think that there's a lot of that goes on where it's just kind of, ooh, we don't really know how to talk about it, so we're just not going to talk about it. But
you want to hear my wife's favorite exhibit at Disney?
Yes.
With all the sarcasm allowed? Yeah. It's a small world.
I was just about to say. I didn't want to cut you off. I figured that would be it.
She hates that exhibit. Like, the first time the first time I ever went to Disney was with my wife, right? And we did the whole, I was watching the World Cup at the same time. So it was great. And she told me, like, she was so mad watching how they, you know, depicted how this country was started. She was pissed. Yeah. Like, she was so pissed, other people were looking at her. I was like, yo, man, you got a real head
kill,
back
kill
here,
the
yo.
Magic.
I know. But it's true.
What I think is interesting, right, is, like, now I think you're starting to get into at least more of that information is being made available in spaces like at the, you know, the museums and stuff like that. Like, when we went to the Natural Science and History Museum here in Wilmington, they have a whole thing about the slave trade and everything that kind of went on in Wilmington during that time. And, the violent insurrection that took place in Wilmington, the only successful violent insurrection in the history of our country, basically. But, yeah, I mean,
the second one would be the Civil War.
I guess it depends on who you ask.
And why do we call it the Civil War? It wasn't very civil, was it?
Very uncivilized.
No, it was not very. Yeah. It was not any of those things. But I get it.
But some of the best like military innovation happened during that time period. So
actually, that's not. I would disagree. I think the Revolutionary War was probably the most innovative war that we've had in
but,
the modern
but not,
history.
But not technologically. The weapons during the Civil War.
Strategy
was better in Revolutionary War. Because Civil War, like, just throw meat wagons at it until it stops. It was horrible. Yeah, like, geez. That's the one thing I want to discuss real quick. When you research these little events, these historical battles, and they does it feel like they downplay how many people actually died? They just kind of like, the numbers are so low. You're like, there's no way. There's no way only 300 people died in this. Like, it's...
Well, from what I understand, they didn't have the record keeping of how many people actually enlisted in all these battles. So,
right. So they're probably more estimates than it is anything.
Yeah.
Probably a low estimate, so not to discourage people. Just think about it. If that data is coming from old statistics, they might have, you know, color washed it to avoid.
That's true.
To avoid freaking people out. Yeah. And you don't want to join the military and be like, oh shit, 1,000 people died last week.
Well, speaking of 1,000 people dying, let's talk about Mr. Joe Manchin, who got called out by a former West Virginia state senator who basically said, hey, Joe Manchin, I'm taking your cookies. And in a lowbrow type of way is basically saying, you got caught getting paid off. So for all the talk that Joe Manchin does of how he likes to meet Republicans in the middle and find points of agreement, blah, blah, blah. We all know, everybody knows, that he is bought and paid for by pharma with his daughter, coal, through his own, enterprises. And it's sad it's disappointing to see that, like, society still falls for the okey-doke. It's disappointing that he's not gotten back to the Coal Miners Association in West Virginia because they actually wanted to support some of the items in Build Back Better that could have been negotiated to probably push that bill forward, because he's trying to line his own pocket. So just wanted to bring that up there. So Joe Manchin, I think Chris said it best last week. Can you say it again, Chris? Or was it the week before?
He's a disgrace.
What did
to
I
Joe's.
Say?
You said, fuck you, Joe. That's what you said.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Joe, fuck you.
It just hurts hearing this. It hurts hearing that Joe has lost their way.
No, I know. It's Joe Manchin is a piece of shit, and I'm done being surprised by this, though. Like, that's where I'm at with all of this stuff and, like, all of these people is it's not even like I'm numb to it. It's just that there's no element of surprise left in it. Like,
you kind of expect it. It's par for the course, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is what else would explain the behavior that he has exhibited over the last year and a half, right? Like, over the course of his entire, career in politics, basically. It's just,
I don't want to railroad him, but I think that he's had the opportunity to hide, like, his votes when he knew the bills weren't going to get passed.
Yeah.
Right? And so now that there's this...
enough votes and it comes to him, he's not in that same position, but he's still trying to play the same card, essentially.
Right now he's not trying to hide, he's trying to
get as much as he can. And that's all it is. Like, it's just this is my time to get as much as I can for me, and maybe there's a couple of scraps left over for the rest of the people in West Virginia. But, like, it's not, I mean, this is not about somebody using this money to buy drugs, right? Like, that's not that isn't what bothered Joe Manchin to the point where he killed the entire BBB bill. Like, that's...
Right. He's playing himself.
You're a fucking moron. I'm sorry. if you believe that that is the reason that Joe Manchin decided that he wasn't on board with the BBB is because he got a phone call from somebody saying, I know somebody who uses money to buy drugs. Like, no, that's not. I'm sorry. And if Joe Manchin is the type of politician who takes some random stranger's phone call and goes, well, that completely changes the way that I feel about this bill, then he's not a good politician. Like, you can't have it both ways. It's either bullshit or you're a moron. Like,
you know, it'd be a great business, because I hear a lot of quotables from a politician that say, what I'm hearing is people are telling me, I want to know where you're at when you're hearing this and people are telling you.
Well, but and this is that, part of it, right? It's like they're stealing a line from journalism in a sense, right? It's like sources say,
right.
And this is basically the people really like, what people? The people, which people? The ones I talked to. Which people did you talk to? Oh, these people last night at dinner, you know, like that. I happened to interrupt while I was in the restaurant and I said, what do you think about this great idea? And they said, I don't know who the fuck you are. And I said, if you'll just say, I think it's great, I'll leave you alone. And they said, I think it's great.
Need to conduct business like that. Just walk into random restaurants.
I agree. I mean, like, part of the problem, I think, again, like,
it's not the pizza
they aren't paparazzi. Accessible.
They need paparazzi. Like, we need to get, like, a paparazzi squad for, like, any, like, legislator, federal or state, just so we can actually know who they're talking to, what are they talking about, and see them with this, you know, this tomfoolery.
Stop them in traffic. And
even better. Body cams.
Body cams.
We make our politicians wear body cams.
Chris, we see how well that's working for law enforcement. Let's not.
These ones can't be turned off, though. Always on.
I can imagine the horrible nude pics they would accidentally send.
Sure.
Politicians are the worst of them for some reason.
It's like a chastity belt system. They can't take it off. They have to have all of their.
So we've solved that problem. But you want to, like, here's a problem that we can't get away from: redistricting in North Carolina again and again and again. So let me preface it with this: when I tell people that Republicans and GOP are racist, I'm not necessarily talking about what happens at the federal level. I'm typically talking about what's happening in states like the one I live in, where once again, they are with precision reducing the non-white vote in this state. And I've asked this question many and plenty of times, and so for some reason it just kind of dawned on me, yeah, they're rigging the game. How is it possible that you have some states with a Democratic governor, but their state legislators are always like straight up Republican?
Right.
It's impossible. How do you have super majorities in any state that you have a like the complete opposite on at the executive level? It doesn't make sense. And so I started looking into it, and guess what? Most of these same states, they rig the elections through redistricting. There's no way around it. It's just you can't prove it different. You can't.
No, and I mean, look, because we've been accused of being partisan in the past, I do want to say that in North Carolina's history, when Democrats were in control, they did much the same thing, right? Like they were redistricting with the idea of trying to minimize the opportunities for their opponents, the Republicans, to come in and take districts, right? And once Republicans were able to get just enough control, they basically went, it's our turn now, and have rewritten things in their favor. And
but
so
they've gone,
like,
overboard.
They have, yeah. I mean, like, it's I just don't want it to come off like we're sitting here saying Republicans are the only ones who ever do this. And
no, what we're saying is that the system itself is busted. Like, the idea, I imagine, was the idea was probably like checks and balances. If there's a, you know, Democratic leadership, the Republicans are balancing them so they control everything. But in reality, all it does is each group is fucking the other group over the time, which means nobody's getting anything done.
Yeah, and what you've come into now is a sense of it's not a matter of checks and balances, right? Like, especially in North Carolina, you have a Republican-controlled legislature that wields more power than they ever have at any point, right? They've reduced the power of the sitting governor. They have reduced the number of seats on courts and different committees. Like, they, I mean, on the election stuff, they tried to get it to the point where there was, like, eliminating what was supposed to be the flip-flopping,
right?
You know, like, majority, essentially, and be like, no, it's just always 2-2 and nothing will ever get done, more or less. Like, again, right, moving to a point of it's better to get nothing done than it is to allow the opposite side to achieve anything. And I would just like to see so much more being done in the sense of, like, how do we find some sense of, like, I mean, it seems to, we're at a point now where it's like we have to make the Democratic and Republican members of each state Congress, like, do a puzzle together, right? And that's please, how we're going to develop teamwork.
Make them work on IKEA furniture.
I mean, whatever it is. But, like, if, you know, some team-building exercises, trust falls, like, I don't know.
Trust orientation.
We have no synergy in our...
Oh, God, it's so asinine, but...
Sorry.
Please don't do that.
No, but I mean, like, I believe that there was an element of bipartisanship that was written into the federal government structure, right? Like, that was designed around, and not even like bipartisanship specifically, because it wasn't supposed to be two political parties, but around, right, like cooperation, right? And I know you don't like the term compromise, and so I'm willing to kind of exclude that from this conversation, but working together to find, like, how does everybody, regardless of how they kind of feel about this, ultimately feel like they walk away winning something, right? Right? Like, there's a solution out there that achieves that, but we've gotten to a point now where it seems like it's so far removed from any sense of collaboration on how we move forward that it's our way or the highway on both sides, right? And then you have people like Manchin who want to pretend they're on one side, but then simultaneously do things that kind of indicate that they might be on the other side.
But Joe Manchin's on his own side. But I think that you're not wrong. But I think where the game, and I hate to call it the game plays itself out the most is when you look at particular cities like Wilmington, Raleigh, Charlotte, Asheville, mm-hmm. Chapel Hill. You know, these economic, like, seats of this state, where a lot of the money ends up, it always pulls in the same places around here.
Right.
Most of those are, like, they're run by Democrats.
I mean,
and that's the thing that people, like, fail to see. If we keep playing this, like, supposed two-party system, you're going to have all the, you're forcing all the wealth to move into certain pockets of the state, and they will take local. They will make local changes that exclude the rest of the state. And that's when it really gets bad.
Well, I mean, look at what Teenage Mutant Marjorie Taylor Greene is. Or Marjorie Greene Taylor. I can't remember. I can never remember which. But what she's, like, proposing in this national divorce, right? Oh, the red states, we're all just going to leave. Okay, first off, I know this isn't on our list. You can't do that because it's, you know, that's secession. We went through a civil war that we fought over that. Second, there aren't red states and blue states, right? It's right. Not that Alabama is not 100% Republican. I'm sorry, right? Like, you're a moron if you think that that's the case. And third, y'all gonna go broke if you do that because y'all ain't got no money. Take your broke ass home, right? Like, that's where
some
I'm at with
this.
If you ain't got no money, take your broke ass home.
Yeah.
And Marjorie Taylor Greene, like, you ain't got no money, so get the fuck out of here.
It's been thrown around a lot in Georgia, and I know I sent you guys a thing about how Atlanta is trying to, or Georgia in general, is trying to compete with California in the movie industry, right?
Yeah.
And then shots were fired because other states started to compete the same way with taxes.
I thought that was Arizona.
No, Arizona, Vermont, Maine, Michigan. They like.
No, I meant where Alec Baldwin pulled the trigger.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to move beyond. But I think that's healthy competition. But I also think that we got to understand like how that plays out. So if people are willing to pull production out of Georgia because of their you know, semi-racist bills, cool. I'm for that. I'm 100% for that. I think we should have that type of competition, but we've got to figure out how that plays out on a state-by-state basis. Because Marjorie Taylor Greene's not wrong, right? If she wants to cluster all of her little evangelical gun-toting Jewish space laser people into one place, sure, do it. Do it, do it, do it. But where are they going to work? Because everybody's going to bolt out of your state. I would. Right.
I mean, yeah, like, that's the whole thing. It's like, look at what Brexit did to Great Britain, right? Like, it has, in ways, completely decimated them from a trade perspective. And an immigration perspective, right? Like a borders perspective, essentially. And now you want to do that within, not just like breaking part of a union where your country just becomes its own entity again, but where you're taking multiple states from within.
They couldn't decide where they wanted to go.
No, is just what doesn't make any sense, right? Like, this is all just posturing. And that's why I get, like, this is the stuff where it's like, I want to make headlines, right? I want Fox News to promote my theory that we should have a national divorce, right? To use terms like national divorce. Like, dude, this is not, there isn't, like, a mommy and a daddy here who aren't getting along. Like, I'm sorry. That's not how this effing works. You know, it's,
we get Florida on the weekends.
Yeah, I mean, for real. Like,
who's
it doesn't.
Really, who's really winning in that argument?
What are you going to do with Puerto Rico, right? Like, what are you going to do with all of these? Like, it's
we'll
just.
Be honest, they would forget Puerto Rico's even in discussion.
I mean, I know that MGT doesn't
Puerto
care
Rico
about
would
Puerto
just
Rico,
stay quiet, right? And just let it happen and then just do their own thing.
If they want the Midwest, that's great because that's where a lot of the floods keep happening.
Tornadoes.
I mean, the thing. Tornadoes. Okay, so the thing that I'm worried about when it comes to all these. For one, I mean, Wilmington, North Carolina is a big, outspoken film supporter, even though, in my opinion, there hasn't been much films to be, like, outspoken for. It's just been kind of dead for a long time.
But Netflix has started to make more stuff here.
You have
Screen Gems.
No, you don't have to tell me that.
I know.
Downtown Southport, it's filled with film crews right now.
Aren't they building a studio there, Netflix?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That's the cool thing about it. Like, so, like, historically, Wilmington's got prowess. What was it? One Tree Hill was their biggest thing.
Well, you had Dawson's Creek, right?
And then Sleepy Hollow.
The Crow and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, ironically.
That shows having these organizations come to locations of the film has lasting effects on that environment's
it's
stability, their self-image, and their importance going forward.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of the Olympics.
So here's what I'm curious about, right? this is what I'm worried about. So Georgia, when you're talking about Georgia and film crews and all that, The Walking Dead, you know, film there and everything, the small town that they're affiliated with has gone so integrated with that film crew, that filming studio, that it's kind of like their entire economy is built around it.
Sure.
So when they eventually leave,
right,
that's going to destroy the economy.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm worried about. Like, I'm all for more filming. In fact, I mean, hell, Netflix, we've seen it. There's so much saturation of choice right now.
Yeah.
That it's I like that. I mean, everybody gets their thing, but what happens when they leave those areas? Like, how are those companies?
But you're not wrong, but look at Hollywood, right? So California has owned a vast majority of that market until Canada, like Toronto especially, started in Vancouver, BC, started to chip away at that.
Well, and because the cost, right?
The cost of living
and the cost of, like, supplying your crew out in California became so expensive that it kind of forced them to start moving elsewhere. But go on.
Exactly. So those things they don't go away. California's got their own taxing they have to figure out, and hopefully they do, because they're not bleeding companies, but they're the fifth largest economy in the world. Mm-hmm. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
I remember this whole nice informative video essay where they say they can separate from the United States and still be sustainable.
Yeah, the fifth largest economy. So, which is dope.
At some point, an earthquake will make that happen.
Or fire. I mean, yeah. They don't have a lot going for
them. Why is it like, get away from me?
No, and I hear what Joe's saying. Like, and I think, you know, to some degree, like, that falls on the shoulders of the town management, right? Like, the leadership of that town to wisely invest the money that they're receiving and figure out, like, how do we make ourselves appealing to other film productions going forward, right? Do we provide
the
infrastructure?
Don't say appealing, say appetizing, because they just chew you up.
Okay.
But what if you don't look at it as,
like... But I don't think that's
like,
necessarily true all the time. Like,
the time, but it's the times when it is true that worries me.
So, but I think people often get stuck on the primary industry, unless you look at the ancillary, right? There's things you can do in the time where everything's, like, growing and popping to actually help you to, like, sustain that growth. Right.
I think we're moving into the topic of business a little bit. Do you mind if we switch over to that?
Let's go.
We're
collaboration. Synergy. Thinking outside the box.
We didn't do it.
Raising the bar. Breaking down silos.
Corporate espionage.
Shifting the paradigm.
I didn't get a chance to talk about
it. Disrupting
the market.
On
other stuff.
Business.
No, so like... part of the reason
can I say it again?
Yes.
That is my least favorite bumper.
I know. I know. And I'm glad that I was able to achieve that status. I think that there is like ultimately it I mean, you talk about like chewing up. I look at like Wilmington, Carolina Beach, and the surrounding areas and what they've been able to do in terms of, you know, like okay, so went to pick up my kid from school last year, and was there's
it's like what?
Dad joke.
Right? Like that was actually pretty good. So I was like, Chris, I don't know. I was getting mad.
I haven't seen her since then. No, but like, so one of the dads that, you know, picks up his kid at the same time, they ride bikes as well. He's the manager for one of the restaurants down here. And he was talking about how they had the film crew was coming in and they had taken over for like 3 days. And their whole staff gets paid out for those days. Like, they love it when they come in because it's 3 days where they basically are guaranteed, you know, X amount of dollars. A lot of the times they do it like here where it's in the off season. So you're making more money than you probably were if you were open anyways. Your staff gets paid in addition, you know, to not having to work. So like if they have other waiter and waitressing serving jobs, they can go work somewhere else.
That's a very
like,
nice way of saying that locals don't tip for crap.
Yeah. That's fine. It depends on the local, I guess. But I think it's one of those things, right, where in the right setup, in the right situation, right, it can be very beneficial to the surrounding town. Like, we have, you know, filmings that, like, Joe, you were talking about, you got film crews that are set up down there. We have them down here all the time, and it's not... Like, it doesn't interfere with normal business for the most part.
Yeah, no, I don't,
you know, or anything like
that. I'm not at all opposed to it. I don't know if I ever told you folks, but I did some extra work and body and also some body double work in Wilmington for two Netflix shows. I'm sorry, one Hulu and one Netflix show. And it was completely by accident.
Were you The Rock's body double?
No, actually. Thank you. No, there was, I'm trying to remember, is this Hulu show about a woman, Vendetta, killing people again?
Oh, yeah. With the, she's like, has a diner as their cover image?
Yes. So
that show is dope.
So I played, as a double,
Reprisal.
Reprisal, there it is, yeah. The body double guy, I was a body, my brain. You got me all flustered now, I'm thinking all about that. It was so jarring, it was such a crazy experience. But one of the henchmen, like the guy who looks similar to me in complexity, I was his body double, and then I also played a law enforcement officer for the club scenes. So
I've never finished watching that show was a little bit too much for me at some points, but now I'm going to have to go back and like...
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's got a 6 out of 10 average rating, man. It's not a horrible show, but the pacing's weird.
Yeah. So,
but no, it was an eye-opening experience seeing how
They filmed that in Wilmington?
They did, yes.
They
did a couple streets down from where I used to live in 12th Street, which is one of the worst ghettos in Wilmington. So I was very surprised that they chose that locale. They chose a bar that was actually Yeah, 3 blocks away from where I live.
The biker bar, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. So when I saw that bar, I was like, really? Oh. How do you guys get this place? Dude. So when you talk about places that they paid out for, I'm like, they rented that entire block. Everyone got paid out, even the houses, some of the bounded houses were being...
I watched the first 3 or 4 episodes of this show too, and then I just kind of like fell out of it. But that's hilarious. I'm gonna definitely have to go back and watch it now. Yeah, I mean, it was at the same time that like The Boys came out right around. That
oh,
same
it got
time.
Over. It got
yeah.
overshadowed really
and
quick.
Right, like, right. I was watching The Boys, and I got like really worn out from that because that was so heavy. And then I started watching Reprisal, and that was really heavy. And I was just like, "Oh, these are both really yeah. good shows, yeah. but I can't watch both of these simultaneously." So,
here is a. I don't know. I hope you guys can see it, but not the glare. But that's me in the warehouse with all the other extras getting fed.
Oh, that's dope.
Yeah. I was a lot fatter.
Awesome. See, and here we're like, we thought we had to find somebody else to come on and be our famous person. Joe is apparently the most famous person
that's,
that we
that's
know.
Me. They were sizing me up for a shirt.
Nice.
And now here's the interesting part. I almost broke my hand that day.
Right. Now, are you credited on like IMDb? Do you have your SAG card?
I don't know. I never looked it up. I've never even bothered to check that in. Please don't Google me.
I don't want to Google you. I just like no, because I have friends who have done like you know.
I'm just saying, if you Google me, things I would have to
stuff
explain.
Like that. And I think like we even had some of our 48-hour film festival videos. I think were up on like IMDb or like the casting crew is listed on there, which is ridiculous.
That's dope.
But...
So yeah, I think it can work out. It's just a matter of. Like business in and of itself, it's not one and done. It's actually how you manage it. And
well, so
how do
part
you
of the reason. Sorry, go ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you. Also polite.
No, go ahead. Management. How you manage it?
Yeah. So what the challenge is for towns and cities is like how do they take the economic booms. And manage it for the lulls, right? Yeah. So if Wilmington can pull that off, you know, hats off, you know.
I look at it in that it's no different than any other business, right?
Right.
So I want to say it's Cabela's, right? It's one of those, like, maybe
it's a restaurant?
Quasi-Italian places?
No. That's Carrabba's.
You're an impasta.
Yeah. No, this is... this is like a hunting or like a outdoor clothing company kind of deal, right? And they had that their headquarters was in the middle of nowhere, like Kansas, right? I can't remember the name of the company. I'm sorry, I'll look it up later. But they got bought by somebody else at some point, right? And they shut down the entire factory and everything that was going on in this one town that was literally the only thing. In that whole, like the whole town existed essentially because this one factory was there. They had just put up multiple new hotels, all of the restaurants and everything essentially ended up shuttering. Like the whole town essentially became a ghost town when this business got bought and then moved somewhere else because of that. And that, I think, like, yeah, it can happen in the film industry, like Joe's talking about with this, you know, town in Georgia with The Walking Dead, right? But that's all that can happen with any industry. Like to tie yourself so. You know, tightly to one specific group and think like this is going to be enough to sustain us forever. Like
you're a fool.
Yeah, exactly. Like that falls on you as much as that sucks. Like I'm not blaming the individual people in the town, obviously, but right. You know, like ultimately your leaders let you down because they didn't figure out. I mean, it's diversification, right? Like,
yeah, that's why suburbs thrive. Right, and you'll see like a major metro fall apart. You're seeing that in New York right now. People are moving to Jersey. God bless you. People are moving to
right.
Taking
a deep dive on that one.
Yeah, like in where I live in Raleigh, nobody lives in Raleigh. Right, there's a small percentage of people that predominantly want to live in Raleigh. Everybody else, we have thriving suburbs for that same reason. Yeah. But it's complex, and
it is,
and hopefully people figure it out. But I also hope that, you know, you can actually circumvent a lot of these national conversations by dealing with these things locally. So if your state does something stupid like a bathroom bill or stupid election laws, then you should don't feel bad about the, you know, repercussions of businesses not wanting to be there. That's not what they sign up for. And you move on.
To be clear, I think it actually was Cabela's. They were located in Nebraska, and they got bought by Bass Pro Shops is what happened.
You're right. I do remember that's Bass Pro Shops.
And Bass Pro Shops, like, basically pulled out everywhere that they were in Sydney, Nebraska, pulled everything out and moved them, like, consolidated where they were located. And, I mean, again, like, this is not – I'm not saying, like, Bass Pro Shops is a bad company because they did that. Like, I understand from a business standpoint why you would do that.
It happens.
It sucks for the people in that town. But, again, like, ultimately what the failure falls on the leadership of the town to not have the foresight to say something could – like, if something ever happens here, we could be in big trouble.
Well, speaking of that those after effects, the economists are warning of inflation and inequality as poor gets slammed by rising prices. I still live in Disney. You guys live in a suburb of a Disney.
Yeah, Southwest Disney.
Southwest Disney.
Southeast Disney. Sorry.
So what's funny is, like, my wife, I took my wife and daughter out. No, not to eat. We didn't want to cook. We went to a Hibachi Grill off of Kildare and Cary Parkway.
Mm-hmm.
God, that was awful. like it was like freaking awful.
Is that your official Google review?
And he's done. That is the whole story right there.
But I was looking around.
I'm trying to think. Kildare and Cary Parkway. Yeah. I know exactly
buffet,
where it is.
The Chinese buffet with
the one
Japanese
that's across
name.
The street from Trader Joe's.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
It was awful. It was not a good...
By the way, I'm just going to say this, since they were talking about things that are disappointing. The gentleman who played Polka Dot Man in the Suicide Squad,
uh-huh.
he was in this show, and I actually got to see him in real life.
Yeah?
He's really short.
What?
He's really short. Okay. Like, I just always assumed he was taller.
Why?
I mean, that's it. Like, that was it. He's just really short. Like, it was almost like all the actors they had were just tiny people. And I was like, I see why you get these jobs now, because you can't physically do anything else.
Shut up. I knew that sound clip was going to come in handy.
So we're at this awful restaurant. Gosh. All right. So it was not a good experience. That's my final.
Can I just ask, did they or did they not bring you enough napkins?
Oh, they have a napkin dispenser.
Oh, even...
But was it full?
Every time we went there when we worked at E-Area, I never enjoyed it. But I ate meat then, so I could, like, make up something to eat, right?
Wait, when... Because, where?
So that was a spot the sales team liked to go.
Oh, I don't think I ever went there.
Then I would go there with Brum and a few other people. God, the place is awful. But whatever. I noticed there was, and this is why that story stood out to me. We're in Cary. The economy is not for normal people. It's not doing all that great. People are getting laid off. People are behind their mortgages. All types of bad things are happening. But as I look around at the patrons of this restaurant, like, even our worst days in, like, the country, they're not bad and carry.
Right.
There was not an empty table. When I go to the grocer, it's not empty. The only thing I complain about is beer. Like, from Wednesday through Friday, you can't buy beer because there's no beer. Whatever's been bought, you don't get anything back until Tuesday. So
what stores are you shopping at?
I have to go to like three or four stores to get beer. Like, if I go like between Wednesday and Friday.
That's weird. I just haven't run into any beer scarcities down here whatsoever, so I'm just surprised.
Yeah, but these are our complaints, right?
Yeah.
So imagine prices going up for a gallon of milk. Imagine prices going up for toilet paper. Imagine prices going up for people that are making less money than what, you know.
Yeah.
What we are. So I don't think it's. I think it's going to be a. This is going to be a challenging year. and as far as the economy goes. And I don't have, I know we have the tapes. I know I've said it before. We're probably not going to start to rebound until like summer of this year, summer or fall, late summer, early fall.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, like the increasing prices has certainly started to, I mean, I've noticed it more and more, you know, like over the last.
I still haven't noticed.
And not like.
Or I don't care. Like, that's probably what it is.
And it's interesting because I think in some degrees, like, it's kind of been, I think it's been lessened. The impact of it's been lessened because visually, like, what's the thing that stands out visually when we're talking about increasing prices, right? Gas. Because you see it everywhere you go, right? What the gas price is. Whether you're getting gas that day or not, you're noticing what the gas price is as you're driving by all of these places. And that's the one thing that I continue to see coming. What?
What? I don't care about
you don't
gas
care?
Prices.
Well, I mean, like,
because
I just
need gas.
No, I get that. I but, like, I mean, I look at the gas prices because I want to try and find the best deal. I'm not paying $3.21 when I can get it for $2.78 down the street. And that's like, that's a variation that you deal with here in Wilmington sometimes. If you're
really?
Closer, yeah, oh yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I get gas at the same place. I always fill up at a quarter. Like between two shops I get gas at.
But what I'm trying to say is that for, I think, most, the general population, right, you're watching the gas prices even when you're not buying gas, when you're out driving. Because maybe it's just a dad thing where I'm like, whoa, gas is coming down. Oh, interesting. I feel like I'm in one of those Geico commercials, right, where it's like, we can't help you from becoming your parent, but we can't save you.
No, it's entirely a paycheck to paycheck paying gas thing. Like, you can't help but notice it.
And that's, I mean, I was in that boat for a long time. Like, that's, I think that's part of what it was. Like, I'm fortunate to not be in a paycheck to paycheck mode at this very moment, but
to be fair, I'm not laughing at people that's a concern. I'm saying, like, that's not my hot button. Your hot button may be like, oh, gas is like 30 cents more here or there. I'm like, well, I still need gas, right?
Right.
My hot button is like, why are the damn shelves empty?
And that's where I look at it, and I think, you know, like, in terms of my sense of whether or not the, like, inflation, right? Because we're talking in a lot of cases specifically about inflation. I think a lot of people's opinion of inflation is influenced greatly by the rise or fall of gas prices. So if you see falling gas prices.
Is that a trained or, like, a trained?
I don't know.
Like, or is it?
That's a great question.
Because I don't think it's really, like,
it's not accurate, right? Like, the price of gas is going to rise and fall regardless of inflation for the most part. Like, it has its own pricing structure that is more or less insulated. Like, yes, over time, inflation will cause prices to increase, as we've seen, right? Like, we used to pay 99 cents a gallon here in North Carolina. Now we're closer to $3. But yeah, like, I think that there is that part of it is just that perception, right? That, like, when gas prices are going up, I'm going to have to pay $4 a gallon, like, or in California, $6 a gallon, like, you know. But when gas goes down, then it's like, oh, things must be good because gas prices are low. Like, I don't think that it's true, but I do think that it's this weird, like, you know, it's probably correlation or without, but not causation.
Without causation,
yeah.
Like. And I think that's a fault of the media for making that, like, the headline, right? Gas prices are up. Well, gas prices go up, like, two or three times a day.
But what did they learn in the 70s, right?
Yeah.
Like, nothing makes news like a gas crisis. You can't drive your car? Oh, my God. Like, gas crisis. Like, this is, again, like, you talk about learned behavior, right? Like, that's where, the media has all of these learned behaviors that they developed over the years that we have essentially taught them based on our response to their crises or to the ongoing crises that we've dealt with. And now we're in constant crisis mode, right? Where it's just like everything is a crisis. Everything is the end of the world. It's
We're stuck in DC mode.
Yeah. Could we please could somebody switch us to Marvel for a little while? Like,
well, the next
maybe
thing
things won't be that much better over there. But
the next thing I want to talk about, since we're talking about switching to things, Facebook is trying to call themselves Meta on purpose, and they're doing a good job of it. But they're trying to poach Apple employees and Google employees. Apple is saying, "Now we're good, yo," and they're offering up to $180,000 bonuses for their top talent. Isn't that insane?
That is.
But I think it's dope.
I mean, if you listen to college athletic departments, you have to pay for top talent, right? That's why we have $3 and $5 million a year coaching salaries. And yet we don't have the money to pay players. Sorry, that's a completely unrelated thing. Anyways,
what I think is dope about it is that it shows that companies can do the right thing to keep their employees at the spot.
Yes.
Right. Everything else they can figure out, they have to figure out if they want to retain employees. So I just want to give a shout out to Apple for doing the right thing.
I think it's one of those things where, as an organization, you have to make up your mind at some point, am I going to be a feeder organization, or am I going to be willing and able to do the things to retain top talent? And I understand that not everybody is able to do that, right? Like, not everybody is going to be able to say, here's $180,000.
Okay, you take a relative price. It doesn't have to be $180,000.
Maybe what your argument is, right, is you determine what that person's value is to your organization, and you pay whatever you're willing to pay in order to keep that person's value at your organization. If you determine that person's worth $500,000 a year, and you're willing to pay $300,000 a year in order to retain that $500,000, then you should pay that person $300,000 a year. Like, if somebody else is willing to pay them that, and you want to keep them, pay them that money. But I also understand not everybody necessarily is looking at it going like, well, I have $300,000 a year, maybe because you've managed your business poorly. I'm just taking all of Andre's ammunition out of the bag before you even get
I've got nothing to say. Let's go to technology.
We've been doing this too long, man. That's the problem.
Let's talk about technology.
So, the governor of Missouri, I don't know his name, but he proves my point on why some people should not ever talk about anything that deals with technology. So, he believes that this clown believes that looking at source code of a website is a crime. Yeah. Guess what? You can do that on every site. And apparently a journalist found out that there was on their website, they were actually exposing people's social security numbers.
Yep.
His reaction, because he was embarrassed, was to try to sue the journalist.
Yeah. For breach of privacy, right? Something along those lines. Yeah. He's a hacker because he alerted us to this obvious misstep in our website development process. Yeah. I heard about this. I think maybe it was on Bomani Jones. They were talking about this, or somebody. But yeah, the gall of some people to sit here and think I'm going to cover this up to be fair, we do live in a time where that is most people's first reaction, right? Is I'd rather sue and then settle out of court for some ridiculous amount of money, which, by the way, the taxpayers will be funding. Yes.
It's stupid.
At what point do we start holding the actual individuals in their government roles financially responsible for the stupid decisions that they make, instead of us constantly having to foot the bill for them?
Well, we need to,
to be fair, we are responsible because we voted for them. We allowed them to get elected, so I do get that. But I feel like at some point we need to stop letting... The FBI and the federal government settled with the families of the people in the horrible shooting in the church in South Carolina, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because the murderer...
All the signs are there.
Yeah, was supposed to have not been able to get the gun that he got, essentially. The FBI blew it on the background check.
Right.
And so they settled for millions of dollars because somebody at the FBI didn't do their effing job right. Right? Every single one of us is, and I'm not saying that these people don't deserve some sort of compensation, but I'm saying who ought to be paying this money? Why are we, the individual taxpayers, ultimately being held liable for these morons, stupid I'm sorry.
No, keep it up. I like this. I like it.
Well, the reality is, Chris, is that I think people, we've relegated the responsibility of what happens in government to politicians. End of story.
You gotta stop doing that. Well, for on a phase, like on the face, but on the back end of it, we're still the ones who are ultimately paying for all of this, right?
Chris, but this is not a bottom-up approach the entire way to fix it, but we've kind of said, well, you guys are the smart ones. You guys are the experts, and we've trusted them to, and they're wrong.
Right. Well, yeah,
80%,
and we were wrong to trust them, and we were wrong to think that they were experts,
yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, and we do nothing to say we can recall this governor, we can recall this mayor, we can recall this senator,
unless you're in California.
Yeah, and they did a very unsuccessful job. Like, yeah. Even the premise is wrong, but we're not engaged in the process, in the system enough to where it actually matters. So, yes, I hear you, but no, it's probably not going to change anytime soon.
No, it's not. Sorry, I know that's like a whole bunch of politics in our business and
it's okay.
Technology. But
the next thing I want to talk about is I think I'm done with my fight with Docker. It's been.
But you laughed at my GitHub burning the Docker
whale. I think it's hilarious.
Good, right?
It's hilarious.
Helena was like, what is that? And I had to explain it to her. I was like, oh, here, see, this is why this is happening.
My issue has always been with Docker, I believe, that people wanted to use Docker for everything. And
right.
It was becoming a shortcut.
It became the cure-all, right?
Yeah. Oh, let's just put it in a, like,
put it in
let's
a
just use Docker.
Yeah.
Why don't you actually... It's like the whole microservices argument that people... When we worked at ERIA... Okay, let me back up. When we worked at ERIA, every hot new technology was like everybody's thing. Yeah. And they're now the quote-unquote expert. But a lot of times it wasn't practical and it didn't fit with the application that they were trying to use it with.
Right.
And it would frustrate me so bad. It's like, why would you do that? Why would you complicate this just to use... like this technology.
But you know the answer to that. There's two reasons, right? One, to sound important, and two, to make yourself indispensable, right? If I'm the one that pushes for some technology that I understand on the back end, or that makes this whole thing operate, now I become more valuable to the company as a whole because they can't get rid of me or else the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, and that's stupid.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's funny, right? Because, like, one of the things that one of E-Area's products was supposed to solve was, like, knowledge flight, right? And all of this stuff. And yet, they were one of the groups that I think really contributed. Like, they struggled so much from... that like knowledge hoarding within the organization itself. They didn't eat their own dog food, despite their repeated attempts to get us to do that, and could never, like, that was the thing that always kind of told me that that product was not going to be successful in the long run. If you yourself as an organization don't find value in using it and can't figure out how to get your people to use it, how on earth are you going to sell it to other people to use?
So what you're saying is, if you can't find the answers in the hub of information you have,
yeah,
you should probably not sell that tool?
That would be my suggestion. Yeah. Get somebody else's hub of answers. Don't get this one. No, but like, okay, so when it's just back to Docker.
I'm sorry.
No, look at this. It's true. It's so true. I mean, like, how many different iterations of the internal version of that did we have, right? And how many people were deemed, like, the champions of it, right? We had multiple people who were put in charge of that, whose job it was essentially to convince everybody else that there was some value in actually doing this. These were the things that we were then turning around and telling customers were how to be successful in getting their internal communities to be... Right? Like, taking the things that we were failing to do internally and turning around and making that into instruction manuals on how to successfully use the product.
But why couldn't we find the answers?
Well, there were too many hubs, I guess. Maybe that was the problem. You needed less hubs.
There's
only one hub, sir.
This is officially the puzzle hub.
Yeah.
That is the name of this episode, the puzzle hub.
The puzzle hub.
Oh, man.
But yeah, like, to go back to Docker, I think it is, like, it was one of those things where it got used because it was the hot new thing, and it could do some things really well, right? Like, it had a value, and then everybody was like, I bet I could put this in a container. And you could, and they were like, guys, you should put this in a container. Look at how cute it looks in this container over here. It's just all, like, running and stuff. And it's like, well, why can't that share this other container with this one over here? Well, or, I could, but I don't really want to.
I will say this, and I will end my battle with Docker. Docker makes sense.
Until next time.
Docker makes sense when you're using it in the cloud. I will say that. It really does. It doesn't make sense for local anything.
Yeah.
It makes sense for, like, cloud applications. Because I actually listened to my comments, and I think I was like, yeah, but I've been using, like, either Heroku for some things or Docker, or like a Docker container for some other things. But it makes sense in the cloud.
Sure.
It doesn't make sense for everything. It makes sense when you're trying to, like, do something remotely. It makes sense when you're trying to, Docker, me and you, we're good. It's just the people that tried to make you fit into, like, things that you didn't fit into.
Yeah, so, square peg, round hole, all that good stuff.
With that, let's talk about some keyboards.
So, yeah, I threw this in here at the last second because we started to chat about this at the beginning of the episode before we started recording.
Better have lights on.
it only has a couple, so I'll show you mine. I have a Macaulay. I don't know if you can see it there. I've got a 2012 MacBook Pro that I use. I like the number pads on mine for work in particular because I do a decent amount of stuff in spreadsheets. It's helpful. The biggest issue that I have with this one is the command key is too small because it's meant to be, like, you can go in between. It's got the option. I don't know. I think it just, the command key just needs to be a little bit wider, and I would be happy with it overall. The control key is too big is the real problem. But other than that, it's good. It has good connectivity. It's Bluetooth, so I don't have to worry about having, like, my little dongle, which was always annoying, like plugging that in and making sure that it was connected. I also have my Macaulay mouse, so a matching one, also Bluetooth. I like that. That works really well.
Do you have their tattoo or their early decal stickers?
No, I don't. So what's funny is that I actually bought a different mouse to start, and it didn't work for shit. And so I sent it back and I was like, well, I like my keyboard, and it works really well. I bet they have a mouse, and so I got the mouse to go with it. One of the things that you commented on earlier, Andre, was that your keyboard did not have the function buttons, the updated ones. And so this one has both. One of the things that I like is that it has a, where is it? Where the fuck is the button? The thing that I like, where is it?
Oh, you should do a tutorial on it since you don't know how to do it.
I do know how to do it, but hiding from me at the moment. I swear to God, there's a function lock button on here.
Oh, no, I could never use that.
Oh, no, you know what? That's on my other keyboard at home. That's why. Silly me.
Yeah, I could never use a function lock. Well, I don't have the Macaulay. I have the Jellycone.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Ooh. It's got, of course, the number doomajiggy, mm-hmm, because I, too, spend a lot of time in Excel even when I don't want to. It works on three devices. So
this one does too, is cool.
I think that's super convenient because on my left I have a Windows computer that I actually do some, I compile some Windows stuff on.
I'm sorry.
I know. I really, like,
they need somebody to work with them, man. You can't lock Windows out.
I just can't.
They need to get their shit together is a problem.
Yeah. But I think the Jellycone's pretty dope, and it's probably, I don't know if Apple changed what the keyboard function keys did, like, recently, or, like, I just bought, like, an older model keyboard. I'm not going to buy another one, because when I think about it, I still use, like, Alfred or to do, like, a lot of keyboard shortcuts, so I really probably wouldn't even use these keys anyway.
The only things I ever use up there are really the volume and the brightness. Like, that's basically, those are the two things that I use primarily on the function keys anyways. And so occasionally I'll use, like, the play pause button, but usually I'll just be in the app, and so I'll hit spacebar or whatever anyways. Like, it doesn't... Yeah, I'm with you. And I get that not everybody is super keyboard shortcutty, you know? Like, it's not... I love it when I'm trying to teach my mom or my dad how to do something, and I'll be like, you know, Command C, Command V, or like Control C, Control V, and my mom will be like, "What did you just do?" And I'll be like, "I copied and pasted, but you didn't do anything. I saw it." And I'm like, "Oh, well, I hit Control C, or like I'll do like Control P to print," and she'll be like, "How did you do that? You didn't even like go to the file menu." And I'm like, "Oh yeah, no, it's keyboard shortcuts, mom."
My mom would like, she gets mad when I use it, like, I do our tech support shit. I'm just going to fix it, and then I'm like, I'm just going to leave. Don't ask me.
My mom, like, my wife, she jokes that that's, like, half the reason that she hired me in this job is, like, to be her tech support person. And she's always like, I'm so glad you're here, because, like, otherwise I'd just be calling you all the time and be like, I can't get Zoom to work right.
So, you know, the most recent Windows frustration I've had is that for some reason in their latest Windows 10 update, it stopped working with network printers, right? Mm-hmm. My wife in her office with the foot massager, which I don't have, which sucks.
You don't have the wife or don't have the foot massager?
The foot massager. I have the wife.
Yeah, you got to clarify that, man.
It's like it won't print to the network. And I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, I printed this document like three times and it won't print. I'm like, okay. The printer's in my office. And I'm like, well, let me go try it out. I go to her office. I'm like, yeah, it's not printing. I send the document to my computer and I print it out with no problem. Like, then I get obsessed with why is Windows not printing this document? And I'm Googling it.
That's how they get you. Now you're involved. Now you're spending more attention on than you've had in months.
And it's not just me. It's like thousands of other people saying, oh, all of a sudden I updated my Windows computer and I can't print documents. I'm like, all right, babe, I don't have an hour to spend on fixing this. Eh, it sucks, whatever.
We're just gonna... Trash can? Guess we gotta get a new computer. Better make it a Mac.
Because I don't want to know. I don't care. But yeah. Anyway, back to my keyboard. I like the jelly comb. I think it's pretty nice. It's got the scissor key thing, which is really a thing. Is that what they call it?
Like, is that a lesbian button?
It's a scissor key. Unless we just scissor or something.
It's the way the...
You just click that and it gets very vindictive towards men?
Like, no, the keyboard itself is actually pretty comfortable to type on. The best keyboard I've ever used on a laptop.
You're not telling us
the scissor button, it's like a cut paste. Or cut.
Don't get away from
me. I'm sorry, the keys. They're the scissor key thing.
I don't understand what you're saying. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
I think I know what you're talking about, but so it's the structure underneath the key.
Yeah.
As, so it's like an X underneath so that it goes like this when you press
I'm sorry,
it.
The butterfly keyboard versus the scissor switch keyboard. It has to do with how comfortable is the type and the feedback you get from typing. And I enjoy typing this keyboard. Like the two best keyboards I've ever used was the MacBook, like mid like 2000,
mm-hmm.
like probably one of my favorite keyboards, and the Lenovo T140.
I loved the ones that we had at E Area. They were like the official Mac. I think they were the wired ones, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, those are pretty good.
Those ones, I like the action that Mac does with their keyboards. Like, I think that they have the best keyboards. Like, and I mean, the Mac accessories stuff, like the Macaulay is good. I like it. It's got good action and stuff like that. It's very similar. It's not quite the same, and it just doesn't have that same sense of quality that the actual Mac. But I'm not spending $120 on a freaking keyboard. Like, I'm sorry. I just, like, this was, I think, maybe $20. I spent less than $30 between the mouse and the keyboard. Like,
so mine was like $60 though.
Well, I'm sorry.
Honestly, as Apple price products go, $120 for a keyboard.
No, and I get that. Pen, which was like $110. I mean, I know that like for Apple products, it's not bad. But at the same time, I feel like I can still, get a very similar experience with this keyboard without having to pay a ridiculous amount of money for it.
Yeah, you're right. No, sometimes you get one that is just as good with a couple extra features. It just doesn't feel as good.
Right. Yeah, that's the part for me, like, to Joe's point, like, where it's like...
The command button's just not the right size. It's like that's it. That I have to, but I paid, you know, I save $90 to have to occasionally go back and
I wouldn't save $90. Fuck it.
But it's really because I have to retrain my brain to do it the right way. That's what it really boils down to.
Well, let's go into sports.
Yeah!
You don't ask me about my keyboard?
Oh, do you want to talk about your keyboard, Joe?
I just wanted to feel incorporated right now. The closest I went to is I went to Best Buy, and I saw a Halo Edition one, and I just stared at it for 10 minutes.
That's a mechanical one, yeah?
I want it so bad. I need to get a PC set up. I need to get a PC.
You know who
What?
As soon as I hear a mechanical keyboard. You remember the typewriter?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Typewriter keyboard?
No, there was we had a coworker.
I've seen one of those
that had one of those typewriter keyboards.
Is it for the tablet, right?
And I wanted to snap that motherfucker over my knee.
There was one. Yeah, I saw one like that. Like it's a full. It looks like a full
me, and it was like.
Was it like a full typewriter with the dock?
I don't even think it was that. No, but it had like the super thick raised keys and everything was tick 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 tick. Yeah. And I just wanted.
Yeah. There's like a $300 one online where you can dock your iPad into it, I think they're beautiful, but I never want to touch them. And then, you guys are talking about keyboards. And I'm like, I want to get my gaming rig set up one day so I can experience that again.
Well, you should, and then we can do like a whole segment on the show about it.
Yeah.
Of building a PC.
Building a gaming PC. I don't know about that, really.
Watch Joe burn his house down.
Yeah, that's on my bag, but I've been thinking about it because there's a lot of dev games that are only on PC.
You guys trying to sponsor somebody?
Yes, sure. Yeah, Joe sponsored by the Chris and Andre Show. Definitely.
Yeah, I'll put a big sticker on the side. Every time I turn it on, I'll have to post that I turn on. Every time it turns on, it's like brought to you by Chris and Andre.
Oh, I totally
Show.
Forgot to bring it. But speaking of games and consoles. I got a copy of FIFA 21 for like $10 on Amazon.
That's true value.
Yeah, on Game Pass for like free.
Yeah, but now like I got a physical copy for $10. I have Game Pass because I signed up for Game Pass to play with Joe, and I was just gonna do the free trial, and then I forgot to unsubscribe, so I've got Game Pass.
So now you've got FIFA?
FIFA, so we can play.
You really should probably like you know. Play
I should
some
to
games
get my money out of
with,
it.
With this sad Joe just sits here all night, just staring at a screen, trying to find self encouragement to kick some ass.
You know
on
what you should be doing is watching episodes of the Chris and Andre Show on YouTube.
Yeah, that joins on Game Pass.
Okay,
it's for free.
That's cool. Whatever. I'll send it back to Amazon. Then. It was only $10.
You could have just emailed EA and they would have sent you
one. Fuck EA, alright? I had to go through a whole fucking thing with EA, like, over the damn Madden 20. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah.
Alright, so I got Madden.
No, did we talk about Madden?
I don't think so. We're in sports, so we can.
I don't do RIPs because that's not my thing.
Oh, about the actual man. No, we did not.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't do RIPs because I just don't. But Madden, I've owned every one of his games except for the one that I did.
Wait, when
last week?
Last week, yeah.
Yeah.
So last week we had him pass away,
Betty White.
We had
Betty White.
Betty White.
Yeah, I know.
Damn.
Betty White had a baller run, 99.
She did. I mean, and so did John Madden.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that's part of it, right? Like John Madden. Yes. Like I'm with you in that. That man's video games, or at least him lending his name and voice to those video games, gave me a perspective an appreciation for football that I don't think anybody else ever really could have, right? Like,
or for any
sport.
Period.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like that man meant more to football than anybody has meant to any other sport, I think probably individually, just in terms of making it accessible, right, to other people. That's where I think he was able to you know, with his little illustrator things on the screen, right?
Oh, like, dude, I would love those.
That was the best. Yeah. And
you would watch different division games because you knew Madden was calling the game.
That was the reason you were watching. That's what, like Monday Night Football. I was just thinking about this the other week. Like, Monday Night Football is such a shell of its former self. And you think about, like, it used to be such a big effing deal in terms of who was hosting Monday Night Football. I mean, like, when Dennis Miller was on there, it was like the end of the world, right? It was, you have this comedian who doesn't know anything about football. And, yeah, it was pretty bad. But there were moments that were kind of funny, right? Then you had, like, you had John Gruden, who was on there for a while, who, given all of the stuff we know now, sure, but at the time was a really good color commentator because of his knowledge, right? Like, now I feel like we're at a point where you've got Steve. I can't even remember his last name.
You know what? It doesn't matter because I'm trying to watch like the Mannings. Like I'm trying to watch them call a game. Okay. Because
and so this is where I think that they fucked up with that, right? Because I would watch that for games that don't matter, right? I don't want to watch that for like Packers Chiefs, right? But I would watch that for Seahawks Lions. All day long, right? Like, that's something where the color commentary between those two provides so much more value to the broadcast than what just the general announcers can. I think, like, that's where they need to, instead of just it being Monday Night Football, I think the NFL needs to look at figuring out how they make it like a weekly, you know, our shitty game of the week, essentially, and we make it better by having the Manning broadcast be part of it. Like, that's how you actually get people to tune into this stuff in a sense that they actually, like, they care about it instead of, like, oh, well, nothing else is on a Monday night, so I guess I'll watch the Manning cast.
So, Roger,
so
Goodell.
Wait, real quick, let me interject right there. In reference to announcers who have left an impression on people publicly for their sport, when you said that, I was trying to think of various people. Jim Ross.
Oh, hell yeah.
WWE.
Now, he's still alive, though, right?
He was... I believe so.
But
yeah,
he's not doing it anymore.
No, he no longer works for the company. Yeah, yeah. They fired him. It was a whole political thing. But
Jim Ross was one of the greatest.
Like, even nowadays, I still hear his
By
country
God,
ass
King,
screaming
he's
in
dead.
Surprise.
He has broken him in half.
Yep. And the other one would be, God, what is this? What's the gentleman who goes,
who does
Buffer?
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble! Which WCW, Ted Turner, used to pay Michael Buffer to come in for the main events back when Ted Turner actually meant something.
And why do we not see personalities like that anymore?
I don't know.
I think there's a couple of reasons. One, right? Those personalities, I think people are less likely to be those personalities. I don't think that there's as many people who are looking to be that type of outspoken individual. And I think more people are looking to be the, like, I just kind of want to make my money and not ruffle feathers. And I mean, like, Jim Ross, I think, is one of those, right? He had a background in the business. He was like maybe this is blasphemy to some people, but like Tony Romo sitting in the booth, right? Where that dude sits there and is like, you know, this is what the team should be doing, and then they do the exact opposite, and it fails. You know, like, he was doing that with the Pittsburgh Steelers the other week. But somebody
I hate to say it, but he's actually not wrong in some of his
calls.
He's
not
a good quarterback.
No, he is. He's a very knowledgeable person. Like, that's what I like about him, right? Like, that's what I want from my announcers, and that's where I think, like, Jim Ross brought a level, right? And with part of it was also you had him paired with Jerry the King Lawler, and so you had this, like, this greedy heel of a person in Jerry the King who would just do whatever it was that was going to satisfy him, and then you had the principled man that was Jim Ross, right? And like that dynamic made for such a presence on the broadcast, and it was something that WCW had a really hard time, I think, with, like, they never really established that. They had, like, Tony Schiavone and some other really great voices to call matches, but it just didn't have that same same authenticity to it that I think that, I mean, and Jim Ross is still, like, that dude's a freaking legend in my mind.
Well, I don't really rock with wrestling
No, well, I know. And I don't now either. But
glad you had your moment.
The real reason we were switching to sports was supposed to be a talk about Antonio Brown.
What happened with kid?
So for those of you that weren't paying attention this weekend, I guess basically
he quit and got fired.
but they have not released him from the team. He's still technically on the roster.
Oh, he's done, dude.
Right. I feel like, so okay, basic background, the Buccaneers were playing the Jets this past weekend. At one point, Bruce Arians told Antonio Brown to go back in the game, like, hey, you need to go back in, you know, we're calling this play, and he was like, no, I'm good. And he was like, well, you either go back in the game or you get the fuck out of here, because that's it. And he was like, all right, well, then I'm going to get the fuck out of here. And so he took off his jersey, took off his pads, he took off his undershirt, took off his gloves, and left. There is something wrong with Antonio Brown. I don't mean this like jokingly. Like, I think there's something seriously wrong in his head, and I think that he needs some serious help. And I think that he has been kind of enabled by these different teams in the NFL that have said he's got talent, so we're just going to bring him in. And I'm not saying that like somebody needs to tell him to do this. I think he needs to, you know, want this for himself to get help, but these are not the actions and the behaviors of somebody who is, I think, all there upstairs. And I don't think that it's just like a greed or a narcissistic behavior. Like, I think in my mind, looking at this, this goes well beyond this. And that's where I have a little bit of concern just about like some of the conversations that are being had around this, because there seems to be a lot of people who are really quick to take the easy cheap shot and be like, look at this crazy idiot. And there's not enough people who are sitting there going like, this is not the same behavior we've seen from him. Like, this is not how he was the first several years in the league. Right. And I'm not saying that one specific hit is responsible for this, but there was a specific turning point with that Vontaze Burfict hit that he took in that Steelers game against the Bengals. And it was that game where like the Bengals team imploded. They were going to the playoffs. They lost to Steelers. And Vontaze Burfict, it was like helmet to helmet. I don't think it was malicious, but I mean, like, since that moment, Antonio Brown's behavior has been nothing short of erratic. And
well, there's enough evidence to prove that direct concussions over a period of time create behavioral changes. And mental processing. So no, that's very.
I just
very astute.
It's amazing to me that there isn't more of that conversation going on, and I'm sure part of it is the NFL's desire to acknowledge that CTE exists while also taking no responsibility for it whatsoever. But at the end of the day, there was the guy a few years ago, right? The Kansas City Chiefs linebacker that had, I mean, this horrible incident. He murdered his girlfriend and then drove to the facility and shot him, killed himself, right? These things are not, like, those...
They're not isolated.
Yeah, they're not isolated incidents, man. And this is a sport that I love to watch. Like, I love watching football, but It's becoming harder and harder to continue to support that type of barbaric. I mean, it's not even like barbaric, but just like.
No, you're just noticing the suffering, the silent suffering that's not being handled.
You know, I mean, these guys.
Yeah, mental health is one
handed,
thing, but
you know, hundreds
like
of millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars to go play a sport, but then like when shit starts falling apart, there is nobody there to catch them, and
They're expected to be taken care of by themselves because they paid so much.
But how, you know, like.
So we're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back.
5 minutes later.
So I think that you're probably not wrong. And I don't want to pretend to know what's going on with Antonio Brown. Yeah. But like.
And I don't either. Like, I'm not sitting here saying that that's 100% what is at the, you know, the cause of this, so that, you know, like he holds no personal responsibility for what's happened over the last few years. But it is just one of those, like, there seems to be a lot more people who are willing to just kind of point and laugh and say, look at this clown, you know, and a lot less people kind of sitting there going like, this is weird.
Why would he do that?
Yeah, like why would he do this? Right, like let's investigate that a little bit more and just have I don't know. It's to me you like to some degree though, it comes down to that like having more care for the people around you.
I think the part that kind of like blows my mind is that we look at athletes in a false sense of familiarity, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we assume because they have contracts or doing this and that, that everything's good. And then it takes something where you have like a head coach calling people, you know, kicking people or some other crazy stuff. You're like, yo, I totally, now everything else makes sense.
Yeah.
Whatever happened, the only thing I thought of when I saw the clip was like, yo, something else had to happen to this kid for him to do that.
Yeah.
He may not want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But it was enough for him to say, no, I'm good. I'm not playing right now. And you're right. The people that are trying to shit on him, I mean, we don't know.
Like, well, I will say, I know this will probably, I know Tom Brady and what he had to say after the game. I don't feel like that was something that he was just like, oh, this is the right thing for me to say. Like, I do think that I think that there was an element of Tom Brady that feels. Like, I think ultimately Tom's a good guy, you know? Like, and I think that he is looking at this much the way that we're kind of looking at it, is like, there's something, like, that's not right here. And ultimately, like, I want to be able to help Antonio if he wants the help and to help him get whatever he needs. But, like, you know, this is not somebody that we need, that society should just write off and say, well, that's a lost cause, right?
Yeah, I think he wanted to. He was pushed to do the right thing at that moment, and I listened to his comments. I'm like, all right, well, again, I can't speculate, and I think that's a lot of the damage that we do as a society right now. We speculate on what happened and why it happened without even asking the question.
In fact, I don't know. You used to watch Mad TV, right?
Yeah.
So you remember the Lowered Expectations skit where it was like all of the unattractive unwanted people in there? It was like a video dating service, right? And they had this clip at the beginning. It was like the theme song. It was like, Lowered Expectations. And it was like these two people walking down the beach, like, I don't know. I had this idea I was gonna do it where every time that we would just do some, like, throw out some reckless speculation, that we would have a soundbite that would play, but to that, like, clip, like, reckless speculation. So now I'm going to have to put it together. Like,
yeah, I think that's good. Well, let's talk about pop culture.
Mm-hmm. Joe, wake up. We're getting to your subject.
I got lost in the guy's rant about manliness.
Pop culture.
All right, so film of the year, The Matrix, is not on the ballot because, wow, what a crap fest.
I broke it into 2 days because I lost so much interest. I lost so much interest the first day.
If I weren't in a movie theater having paid money for it, I would have done the exact same thing.
My grandfather watched it with me. He's 82, 83 now. Yeah. He's never walked out on a movie in my life.
Yeah.
He halfway through, he's like, Mijito, can we start this tomorrow? I just need to take a break. I'm like, yeah, sure, no problem. So it is, I have so much to say about it, I don't know where to start. One, just starting for number one, It shouldn't have happened. No one asked for this fucking movie.
Right.
Fucking asked for this movie.
Nobody. There was not a single person out there who was like, you know, what we really want is another Matrix movie.
Seeing Keanu sit in an office with a bunch of other nerds telling them how the Matrix trilogy meant to them and how they saw it, I felt pain for him.
Yeah.
I'm like, he's not acting.
No,
he's actually
pain.
Suffering right now.
Like, this
he's
is...
suffering. Because the only time he was ever Keanu was at the end when he was happy the movie was about to end. Like, everything else was just depressing, man. I felt bad for him. I wouldn't even be surprised if that was his real blood coming out of his mouth because he was cringing his teeth so fucking hard.
So I was going to say, like, just caveat, right, for those watching, This is not going to be like our Spider-Man No Way Home review, which was 100% spoiler-free.
Because we're trying to save you your fucking time.
This is not a movie that you need to watch, so this... We are going to spoil everything for you in the hopes that you don't end up in the same position that we did, sitting in front of a screen, wondering, how did I get here? And why didn't I take the blue fucking pill?
Chris, I just want to ask you a question real quick. So at the very end, their whole it ends up being a whole big heist movie for no fucking reason.
You mean the story where love conquers all?
No, they took a back seat. That wasn't even the focus of it. They were heisting all the way up to the point, and they're like, oh yeah, that's right, their secret power is love. I'm like, you don't come. The whole thing about the last movie was that his powers were undefined and unexplained, hinting at a stronger evolutionary connection between man and machine, the singularity point. They fucked it up with, like, ooh, Disney heart, love, touch female, get emotional aura blossom. Yeah. I hate that. I fucking hated that. And then the whole emasculine thing about Keanu not being able to fly anymore, but now she can. I'm like, come on, man.
That's the end of that. She can fly now. Movie's over.
Yeah.
You don't need to understand how.
They're like, oh wow, she's got powers now.
Yeah, boom, done.
Now, I will say, I'll try to my best to give this movie credit where it's when it can have it. Not where it's due, when it can have it. All the scenes with the mechanical beings, fantastic.
Yeah.
I love the technology. I love seeing more of the real world, of the robotic world. You get a little more insight on how they work and how they relate to each other. Instead of just being stupid drones like the ones that, you know, kill people, they actually have personalities inside their little bodies, which is kind of cute.
Which is nice. I mean, like, and, that was a good element. I know Andre's, like...
Having that said, what is up with a Transformer-esque little bullshit robot on the fucking computer that is a fist bump? What is its purpose? Does it add to the movie? Does it add to anything? No, it wastes
screen time. It
literally
does nothing.
Good job, bro. I'm like, why? Why? Also, if a dick can physically or mentally project himself into the Matrix and see things and interact with things... Why be in the Matrix?
Right, why would anybody ever physically be there?
Because never. I was waiting for the point where Neo saw him and looked at him and talked to him, because that would have been like, oh, that's a Neo thing. But it was like, no, he never, literally was never put in jeopardy.
No.
No one ever saw him. He would just go through this little mirror because he's like, perspective. The closer you are, the bigger it is. I'm like, stop.
Also, doesn't make stop. No logic, physics. No.
I get it. He can bend reality, but they all can't do that.
Right. No, and that wasn't even him bending reality. That was just perspective. It's a thing, bro.
Oh. Oh, what is the deal with the home the Mr. Frenchman?
Oh yeah.
What
the
was
exile?
The deal with him coming back? What was the point of him?
Okay, so
what was the point of him? Besides
movie,
the cameo.
We leave the movie, and I'm like, so was I supposed to understand what that fucking homeless dude was talking about?
Bitching. He was like, we were beautiful. Elegant, so sophisticated. And look at me now.
So American right now. And I'm like, what the fuck is that supposed to mean? And she's like, he was speaking French. And I'm like, it wasn't clear that he was speaking French.
He was speaking French a little bit with a lot of bad accent.
Exactly.
He was bitching. He was bitching about
terrible.
How Neo took away his millions.
It didn't fucking, he that wanted, was my he, whole point was like, at the end of the day, it didn't fucking matter because it was all fucking garbage.
He wanted his orgasm cake back. That's all it was. He was pissed that he didn't get that. He lives in a trap. Okay, I get it. They're kicked out. You know, they've been purged, right?
Yeah.
You know, they survived. Why are they dressed like shit? Why are they dressed like Mad Max Recon Edition rejects?
And why are they somehow equally as
super strong,
as combative as these other people? And
you know how it is. Every Windows update, your old files are harder to delete. But I'm like, holy shit, dude. And, okay, I hated what they did with Smith.
Okay,
I hated
it. That's funny, because he was one of the few parts of the film that I actually really liked.
No, get me right. I liked his acting. I love how he's bantering. I love the talk between him. But I hated how they were just like, oh, he's Smith.
No, I didn't.
Why?
But it was obvious. It was obvious.
Well, the whole thing about Smith is that he was a virus to the program, and he was going to destroy the Matrix.
Right.
If you have him again... His natural instinct would be to destroy the Matrix.
Well,
and I know he played that statement saying, oh, well, they had me in a cage, but now I'm free.
Yeah.
I'm like, but you're not doing anything. I mean, you're just sending zombies at people.
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
the zombie
thing.
What
the
fuck?
That wasn't him. That was Neil Patrick Harris.
Therapist. Yeah.
Well, the first time it wasn't him, and then it was him the second
no,
time.
No, it was both him.
No, with no the car chase scene.
NPH, because he digitized. Called swarm mode right before he got blasted
That's
in
right.
the face.
And what was the point of that? If he's yeah. going to get shot, why is
no,
he still alive?
No, exactly. Didn't matter. Stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid.
Can all
stupid,
programs
stupid,
choose
stupid.
Not to fucking die?
So fucking stupid.
Oh.
So
and
fucking
And the black cat
stupid.
Apparently is like the backdoor key to controlling the Matrix?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, it's just any black cat. It's not a cat being seen twice. It's just a black yeah. cat named Deja Vu. Yeah. Fuck you. Yeah. Like, there was, okay, yeah. there were so many, literally, like, shot for shot, remember when we did this in the first Matrix? Like, the Agent Smith over the top, the gut punches, right? With the,
The fight scenes,
Literally the exact same thing. Then they got so fucking lazy that they literally just took clips from the first movie and were like, remember this? Remember this? Ah, this is
all
the
time.
First movie.
Most of the whole thing was, oh, let's explain what we're talking about by showing you straight cutouts.
God, that movie was so fucking irritating.
Dude, I was like, what the hell is that? Like, when they first introduced the first agents, and you get to see that one black agent. I'm like, whoa, okay. What's going on here? That's
no,
weird.
They have a different
and then
looking
they went
agents,
on.
Which...
Yeah. There's various forms of white men.
Yeah.
Which is very agent-esque. Mm-hmm. But when you see that one black one, you're like, there's something about you. That's too obvious. And
also,
then when he's supposed to be like a... he's a
Morpheus.
How racist
is it that it's like, oh, I'm a black guy who has a slightly smaller gap between my front two teeth. So I'm Lawrence Fishburne light. Like,
Right. But no. Oh, he did really. Okay.
I loved him.
In defense, he's a great actor. He did really good in Candyman.
He
but,
was good. Like,
yeah,
that's the kid from Candyman.
He was okay. Like, I liked him. I'm not saying, like, Morpheus was done well, but I liked him. Like,
If I'm correct, the whole idea of him was that Neo, inside the Matrix, created a pocket Matrix, where he was replaying his memories, and he made a version of Morpheus and Smith together, right?
Something like
that. That was the whole purpose. Like, yeah, because he said the balance. He's like Morpheus and the Smith. You know, two philosophies battling each other for making perfect chaos. I'm like, okay, why aren't they doing more with you? Because that's a cool concept.
Yeah, that should have been the fucking movie.
Especially with him and Smith, they should have when they met. They should have been like, something's off with
him.
Smith should not have been able to, like, manhandle him in the movie.
No.
You're right. There's a lot, like, that movie was like, it was a money grab.
No, but see, like, it's funny because when we talked about Ghostbusters before, I know you haven't seen Ghostbusters yet, right?
I will see it this week.
Yeah, which is fine, but I'm just saying, like, you haven't seen
it
yet.
What about Spider-Man?
I'll probably watch it this week.
Okay, you need to, because we need to talk
about
it.
You had your concerns that Ghostbusters was primarily done as a money grab, right? And that, like, the way that they handled all of the nostalgia elements of it was done poorly. And I just can't help. I texted you guys after that I saw it, but, like, Ghostbusters was 10,000 times better than this.
I would say, the thing about Ghostbusters is that the trailers made it look like that. That it wasn't going to be a cash grab for nostalgia.
I can understand that, yeah.
And
you want to talk about trailers... The trailer for this movie had me sold. Like, I watched the trailer and I was like, all right, like, that looks like they're going to tell a cool freaking story.
Yeah.
I want to go watch this.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be more grounded.
No.
But
we're just going to blow it all out the fucking window. We're going to make it some stupid fucking love story.
The first 30 minutes was nonstop action for no reason.
That's why I don't put stock in trailers. Like,
and then an hour
like,
and a half of nothing. And then 30 minutes
and they never explained why the Asian girl was a perfect match for Trinity's brainwave.
Yeah, that didn't make
I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
She revealed her stupid rabbit tattoo, and he was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm like, what?
Didn't mean it wasn't like he was like, oh, whoa.
So what we're saying is...
That was funny. When he did punch him, he's like, I remember Kung Fu. I was like, yeah.
So that's the thing,
cool.
Right? There were elements. There were moments in that movie where I'm like, that's cool. That's neat. Mm-hmm. And then there were the other parts, like the over the head, like the helicopter scene, right? With the shells raining down.
When he's
down.
Blocking the bullets. Yeah, and the bullets coming from different angles. That was cool.
No. So I'm talking about like the upshot.
Oh, getting showered with bullets.
Like,
yeah,
literally,
like Terminator.
No, but it was the exact same shot from the first movie. But it was Morpheus him, Neo, who's standing in the helicopter, blowing away all the agents to save Morpheus.
So the issue that I think with the movie was, it was one of the Wachowski sisters.
Yeah.
Like, it was a comeback tour.
Yeah.
Right? And
that no one asked for. I don't even know why they asked for it.
Yeah. That's why there's, I think that's why there's only one.
By the way, there were two of the Wachowski sisters involved in this.
Yeah. Talking
no,
about
one,
that
no, no,
scene.
No. Not of the original set. One was a director, and different sister was a producer. And I'm not trying to do that whole, like, dead name crap, because I don't want to play that game.
Right.
But it was a completely different sister. It wasn't the original team that actually did this movie.
Gotcha.
So
the whole scene where they're sitting around talking about, you know, the next Matrix, you know, talk, you know, storytelling stuff.
Nobody cares about the Matrix movie.
That was, I was going to say, that's so meta in a bad way, because it feels like you're telling us, oh yeah, we know that you know this is bullshit, so we're just going to say it's bullshit, so it's okay. No, it's still bullshit. Like, this whole, none of this is purposeful.
What I didn't enjoy about the movie was, like, it was beyond transparent at the first therapy session.
Yeah.
Right? Because I think that's where you saw the glimmer of, like, how they, like, other people saw Neo. And I'm
or like
oh,
right after man, that, yeah, when he was in the yeah. in the bathroom,
in the coffee table. No, it was at the coffee table.
Well, you saw the coffee table, yeah.
Coffee
you
table,
saw her.
The mirror,
yeah.
But yeah. That was the other thing that I was sitting there like, how fucking lazy
trailer,
is this stupid yeah. like Matrix, you know, that they're created where there are these little glitches where you actually where he can see. Like, I just
I don't say why don't they just make it where he sees his image as himself, so he doesn't connect. What he thinks of himself in mind.
Yeah, they tried to explain that with this whole stupid ISP. Like, let's make ISP stand for something different than
yeah.
what ISP actually says. Oh, it's the way that you perceive yourself within the Matrix and the way that others perceive you. Oh, my goodness. Like, oh, jeez. Fuck it.
And then when he literally said bullet time, I almost
yeah, that was
my mouth.
Awful.
Yeah.
I was like...
Also, that makes no sense. Like... I use bullet time to control you. What? Like, he's the one that made bullet time possible, you dumb fucks. You can't...
That's the whole thing. Yeah, because he's
exactly.
Neo. He breaks the system and
right.
does
so
that.
So the whole point is that he's breaking the system. So if somehow you manage to create bullet time within your own system, he's going to break that shit, you dumb fucks. Mm-hmm. It's just so
which he never
lazy.
Does. He never
so
really does.
So fucking lazy. That's what I just cannot
never...
stand the laziness. I'm sorry. It's so
the
frustrating.
Matrix,
yo, even the coffee shop fight scene.
Was awful.
That was terrible. Oh,
I remember what I wanted to say. I remember what I wanted to say before this whole started. The one thing I had the biggest problem with is no one was in true
nobody
danger.
Died.
No.
Literally,
no
not
one
a
died.
Single fucking person in the entire movie died. Not one.
Every extra on the side was like, oh,
he's
going
to get us all
we're
killed.
Okay.
Yep, we're all going to die. Oh, nope, we're good. It's all good.
Dude, the dude being walking with a broken leg and a broken arm, still shooting from his hip
yeah,
with a
he's
gun.
Fine.
And I'm like, that's what I loved about the other Matrix. It was so
people
frightening.
Actually died. They pulled
the... Yeah, one of these fucking octopus-looking
right.
things gets in the ship and everyone
I
starts
mean,
dying.
Cypher pulled the plug on how many individuals, right? Like, just sat there and sort of yank, mm-hmm. yank, 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 yank. Done.
Oh, and then the whole fact that they're using magnetic marbles to bring the programs into the real world, that is such a open opportunity for Smith to just get back in, because that was his
and
whole thing wanting to get into the real world.
I give the Matrix an F plus.
Yeah, it was bad. Like, it was just really really bad. I mean,
it was nice seeing Neo. And
I disagree.
Again.
I don't even feel like that was worth it. I feel like it ruined.
No. It was nice to see them. Like, you went like it was unfortunate to go to a family gathering. It's nice to see them, but they
yeah.
shouldn't be there.
The end of the movie was garbage because they
that was
they
even
go,
worse.
They go and harass Neil Patrick Harris
for no reason,
and they both and they go fly off
just to show some quick CG where they cut his head,
yeah.
throat open
yeah, I'm like,
and
what
him against and oh and the reference that she wants to kick your mouth off that they yep. had to bring that forward to pay it off for some reason.
Chekhov's gun, but you know.
Like, what, I just
next thing. So I give it an F minus. What do you guys give? Or F plus? What do you give it, Chris?
I won't even waste the ink grading this.
Yeah, I mean, like, I hate to say it, but that's kind of
they get a zero. They didn't show up.
Yeah, I mean, like, I think it's an incomplete.
I'm gonna do what so many people did to the Ewok stories for Star Wars and never acknowledge existing.
Which is funny because we talked about that last week with the whole Indiana Jones stuff. And that's where I think this movie ultimately is going to find itself. Like, I think that just like with Indiana Jones, right? It had the highest hopes to deliver on a beloved franchise and ultimately left more people pissed off and hating the fact that they ever bothered to bring it back up than anything. Like, I don't think that they really, that anything was gained from making this movie. It was terrible. It was bad. It was just a bad fucking movie.
Yep.
And then it's like you really ultimately you double down because you tie it to such a beautiful original film in The Matrix, right? Mm-hmm. Like, say what you will about the second and third ones. I didn't particularly care for them. Second slightly better than the third. But I had hopes that this was somehow going to revitalize that, that it was going to go back to some element. And probably in part because I'd been pleasantly surprised by Ghostbusters, because Spider-Man No Way Home in my mind had done such an excellent job on delivering on the high expectations, I thought this is going to be the next one. This is like the three-peat that we're going to get this summer or this winter, and it just, I mean, it was nothing. Like,
question, when it comes to plot, did they ever actually tell you straight out what happened to New Zion?
No. They basically just said robots were fighting robots.
Yeah,
and now
that
we don't and want said, whatever happened to New Zion to happen to Io.
And they were saying some bullshit, saying Morpheus just didn't want to change. And he thought you were going to come back. But that doesn't explain why the city itself had to be abandoned.
It doesn't. We don't even know it was.
Even if it is. Does that mean that it is around? And did you have a war between each other? That would be a nice little take.
Both cities were fighting with the robots. She did say that the robots just stopped. They left.
Initially.
Yeah, but they never said how they got to this new spot. Yeah.
After
the fight, they left.
And then everything fell apart in Zion because she was explaining that, like, Morpheus believed that because of everything that happened with Neo, that everything was going to be different. And so that even though there was this other group of machines that was forming who were apparently led by Neil Patrick Harris's character, he was like, oh, it's fine, no big deal. Yeah, so what, they're hanging out right behind us, so it doesn't matter. And then my guess is everything kind of fell apart there, but you're right, like, they were never very specific to it. My guess is because blah 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 blah, they want to bring back Morpheus in another movie. Like,
okay, well, here's the thing, they never made the city the city was never under any threat.
No, it
was the
not.
One that they were Io
None
here
of the
Because they had figured out how to get more energy with Neo and Trinity. They didn't care.
It was basically implied that because they had what they needed with Neo and Trinity, that they didn't care that they had these other humans that were living outside, and because the humans were ultimately allowing them to do whatever the fuck they wanted. So it's like, because they weren't going in and actively trying to free Neo and Trinity and the other humans that were in there on a regular basis.
Does that mean they were actively not saving?
Yeah, I think
too?
So.
They just kind of stopped.
I think Jada Pinkett Smith was like, well, my husband Will and I are in an open relationship, and so, I mean, that has nothing to do with it, but.
Wasn't the whole thing that they were, that when they came on The Matrix, they were infertile?
I don't know. I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure there was an aspect where that was the reason why no one had protective sex, because everyone came out from The Matrix was made infernal by the machines.
Could be.
I played the shit out of the video game. I watched the Animatrix. That was my bread and butter for a very long time. But
I mean, if we want more disappointments,
no, I want to keep talking about this one.
Well, the next disappointment for me, I think I probably spoke this into existence. Like, I wanted to see Morbius delayed. Look at Sony.
Oh, did it?
Yep.
What did they do? Because they've been pushing the shit out of it for so long. I'm amazed that they are hitting the pause button on it at all.
Yeah, they're saying, I think they want to have a better release because Spider-Man No Way Home did so well.
So it was supposed to come out at the end of January.
In short, the movie was going to be really bad, and they're like, oh shit, we need to change up.
At both No Way Home and, what did I just see that was terrible? The Matrix. They had the trailer for Morbius, and it's like, from the studio that brought you Venom, and I'm like, but you don't say Let There Be Carnage. noticeably.
I'm gonna probably watch No Way Home this weekend.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, like, Morbius... Morbius, to me,
Morbius can be good.
Could be good. My guess is they probably didn't do it the way that they should have. That's just my guess. I mean, that's based on nothing other than seeing the trailers to this point.
What I'm upset about is that they're going to, like, the rumors have it, it goes back to Spider-Man No Way Home, that Andrew Garfield is going to do a potential
Amazing Spider-Man 3. Yeah.
I won't be mad about it, but I'm going to be pissed about it because it's like, yo, it just supports that Tom Holland should have been, like, a different Spider-Man. Like, I'm just very frustrated.
Just shelve that until after you watch the movie. Don't let those things.
No, I mean, like, I understand what Andre is saying, right? That in a sense, they kind of did the Spider-Mans in reverse order, right? Like, you should have had Tom Holland, ideally, right? If Tom Holland was right. And Tobey Maguire swapped ages, you'd have had Tom Holland do young Spider-Man Peter Parker, Andrew Garfield do the in-between, and you have Tobey Maguire closing things out in a sense, right? Like, that's, I think, in Andre's mind, that's kind of where you're at. And they've very much gone backwards through that. They started with Toby. They let him get a little older. They went back a little bit with Andrew. He got a little older, and then they went back even further, kind of, or right around the same time with Tom. And, yeah. I mean, part of it, I think, is that whatever story they wanted to tell with the Infinity Saga and, you know, Tony Stark and all of that stuff and his relationship with Spider-Man, I think Marvel kind of had that keyed in on. That was something that they wanted to go with.
That's fair. Well, but they still botched it because Spider-Man had a better relationship with Reed Richards than Tony Stark. And that's the part that always is rubbing the wrong way.
Yeah, but again, like you got to remember the MCU is not the same as the comic verse.
I get it.
But you don't, like, because you keep complaining about them changing stuff.
I get what Andre's saying. There's a missed opportunity there because his first team up was
okay.
With
but
Fantastic
why
Four.
Do you think? I mean, yeah. I'm not even. Well, gonna, I you know why? Because they don't own the rights to Fantastic Four.
Yeah, it's Fox. Yeah, yeah.
Which is also stupid.
It was a Fox or Warner Brothers.
That's not another. That's I think that's a Fox.
Fox.
No, they actually have Fantastic Four.
They
now.
Do they now, but they didn't when they first.
They did. Yeah, it was Fox.
Right. I'm just saying. I'm like just saying. I understand why they did what they did, right? Like, you don't have access to the character, so you find the next closest character, and Iron Man is a great replacement for...
No, he's not.
Mr. Impossible. Yeah, he is. In that case, like, he's the next closest thing from the...
Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah.
He said Mr. Impossible.
Well, because I've been thinking of Venture Brothers. No.
You know, in reference to the character lineup, Iron Man would have been the only other option. You can't really go Bruce Banner. For that,
Or like Captain America or Thor, like you just don't have anybody in the Avengers else that is going to be.
You just don't do that relationship.
God damn it, Chris! Fuck me! You just fucked me, man.
What did I do?
Now my brain is like, why didn't they do more with Captain America and Spider-Man? Because I had that heartwarming, I'm from Boston.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. And I was like, that would have been nice.
I'm sorry.
God, no, but you messed me up now. Because I'm thinking, I'm thinking the rest of the movies that they never came up to each other again. It would have been nice at the end of the fight if they just like, oh, hey,
the whole point was
again.
Basically to try and find the next suitable replacement for Reed Richards, and based on the characters that they had available to them, I understand why they put Tony Stark. And I'm not saying that was the better story to tell. I'm not saying that the Spider-Man Reed Richards relationship isn't a better storyline that they could have told. I'm just saying I understand why they did it.
I understand. I just don't like
it. Yeah, I know, but... You get mad at me when I say that about, like, people and their politics and stuff like that. And so...
How dope would it be seeing the Thing fight the Hulk?
Oh, that'd be, like... Oh, I'd watch that, like, on repeat for, like...
But it's like you got mad at the Taika Waititi and his whole, like, Planet Hulk thing. And the whole reason was because they couldn't make a Planet Hulk movie because they didn't own the rights. Like, again, I think you have to take all of that context into consideration when you're judging these movies.
That's all. He longs
I want it to be closer to
I get that. But I'm saying that it's not that clean and simple. If Marvel had done a better job and just owned all of their intellectual property forever, right? But you got people that are like all pissed off because you're not going to have this stupid toaster helmet character in the Guardians of the Galaxy, like ROM or something like that. Like people are. Did you hear about this? Like, and James Gunn was like, no, because Hasbro, it's literally a Hasbro character that was shoehorned into Marvel Comics as a sales opportunity.
Well, look at James Gunn doing something right for a change.
Well, no, it's That's not up amazing. To him. He'd love to put the character in there, but he can't get the rights to it because Hasbro owns it. Which, if you're Hasbro, Hasbro, why on earth would you sit there and say, no, we don't want this random character that we could reproduce and remake lots of money off of to be in some random movie that's in the Marvel? Like, who Hasbro is in charge? Because I want their fucking ass fired. Like, I want that job. I can make that.
I understand.
You say that.
They've made.
You say that, and I literally have a toy they just produced this month.
They have made bank off the Transformers.
Sure. But that's what I'm saying. Like, you've got another character that you can go make more bank off of because you've apparently got people who want this guy to be in a movie, and he's some random ass character from the 80s.
Well, now they know. Now they know, right? And speaking of random characters, have you seen the book of Boba Fett? I'm going to tell you this without any spoilers.
Boba Fett is a random ass character. Like, who's. I don't even know anything about that. Like, he's a.
First time he was ever seen on a TV show, he's riding a fucking dinosaur.
I like this show.
He's the big fat guy from Star Wars, right? That has Princess Leia in the in the gold bikini. No.
Yeah. You talking about Jabba?
Oh, right. No. Okay, he was the old guy in the brown robe that turns into a ghost at the end, right?
He was the coolest thing from Star Wars.
I'm an MC Chris fan, man. My backpack's got jets. Like.
Yo, like that show is. I like that show more than.
I haven't watched it yet.
Well, you should.
It's got a better vibe than The Mandalorian.
Well, and we talked about this before, right? The Mandalorian was supposed to be about Boba Fett.
A Boba Fett show. Yeah, they didn't think that was going to work. So they
changed which
it
makes all the sense in the world.
Surprisingly
Nobody wants
good.
A fucking Boba Fett show, even though we've been asking for it for years.
That was during the time period where they were making all the wrong choices. Like, come on, look at that third and final movie they made. Second movie, Alone, where they're kissing, where Rose kisses for no reason. What the fuck's that about, lady? I love you. I'm like, why? Like, all I've been doing is running away from fights this entire saga.
All I'm saying
why
is...
Why did you have to make me remember that they made a third
movie? Because you blew up my brain about Captain America and Spider-Man.
I will give the book of Boba Fett, and I'm like on a scale of Star Wars fans, I'm not like a fanboy. I enjoy sci-fi, so it gives me like a C, right? The book of Boba Fett is actually pretty decent.
So, let me read this real quick, because it was F. Gate. SF Gate, I don't know what
that is. San Francisco Gate. San Francisco
Gate. Okay, well, they suck now. Because the first thing I ever read from them was, the Book of Boba Fett premiere is an abysmal failure on every level. And you find reviews like this across the board for a lot of these official websites. And let's see if I can find something else. See if I find something in here that he actually states as to why.
That's like going after the Star Wars fanboys.
Right, that's
like, Yeah, I haven't read all the books. I will never read a Star Wars comic because they're not interesting to me.
No, but that's like God, I'm trying to remember his name now.
He says this show is all chicken shit, no chicken salad.
You know what? All right. So what I like about it is that the flashbacks they did in the show made sense to the show. And it kind of gave me a little bit more context of what happened after the one and done in the movies that he's had. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Yeah. And it kind of makes it reintroduces the character in a way that's like, oh, I'm actually interested in what happens to you.
And better than they did in episodes 1, 2, and 3, right? Where they tried to tell you this Boba Fett story, but instead it was like, oh. You're just shoehorning this into the larger story overall. And we're supposed to care as much about that as we are everything else.
Well, this so-called gentleman states that it was 38 minutes of slow burn that felt like it would, it, for any other actor, it would have been a career ender. I don't know how somebody could miss the mark so badly. For one, this is the first episode of a series. So it has to do a lot of world building so that you know what the rest of the movie, the rest of the show is going to be like. And to say that this was a, such a slow burn that if any other actor would have do it, it would destroy the career, speaks more so of your general ignorance on how storytelling goes, less so than your own opinion on this particular
situation. Actually, I think if you read that again, that's a compliment.
No,
because he's saying any other actor would have lost their career due to this slow burn, but this actor is so amazing.
I'm pretty sure he meant it as
he managed withstand such an affront to his acting abilities in this. I know, obviously he's meaning it as an insult. Look, at the end of the day.
Oh, I hate this. Yeah. This son of a bitch. He says originally Fett died when he fell into Sargalat pit, but the show presupposes.
If he
hadn't?
Right,
like,
because
motherfucker,
he never died.
It was never made canon.
It was 100% canon, and that's why you have fans who have been obsessed with what happened to Boba Fett for years now, right? Because,
it wasn't canon. He left it, Boba Fett, George Lucas left it open because he didn't give a shit about Boba Fett.
And so everybody could argue about it, right? That he survived inside the Sarlacc pit, and then he climbed out, and blah, 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 blah. And that's where we're supposed to get eventually. That was the whole point of this thing. Like, to sit there and complain
How did Sarlacc die?
He burned in the fucking life.
From the inside out.
And that's how he got those burn scars
all
over his body.
No. In the movie, it was never...
No, they never talk... You never see it in the movie.
It didn't die.
He goes into the Sarlacc pit.
It just burps. No, you do.
Yeah.
You do. He falls in the Sarlacc pit. And then in the special edition version, it pans over to it and it burps. And that's where a lot of people thinking, oh, that burp must have been like a thermal detonator or something else. And that was the whole speculation. But I did not think we're actually going to get to see Boba in the Sarlacc pit. I thought they were going to show him coming out and that would be it. But no, that was just seeing a dead stormtrooper. Just so many questions for so many years as to what that would look like. Suffering
Again,
for a thousand
I,
years.
I liked it. I was just like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God. What if they actually put, like, an old Republic soldier in there?
Right. There's a bunch of cool shit they could have done.
That would have been a...
I enjoyed it.
I also just think it's one of those, right, like, to this review that you were reading. It's one episode, dude. Like, chill the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah. I think a lot of people are just trying to get attention from the
I think Star Wars... That's why I always feel the same way about Star Wars fans and Star Trek fans. Biggest, like...
Well, they're the same thing, right?
Too much
Star Wars and Star Trek?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Yep. And Stargate. Yep.
Yeah, and Serenity and Firefly fans. Like, too much, like, fanboy and...
Farscape.
Don't fanboy and fangirl. Stargate 1 and Stargate... Like Fishbowl.
Stargate Atlantis.
Yeah, gosh.
Fishbowl.
Like, keep your...
Stargate Affinity.
Yeah, keep your fandom...
That no one remembers.
Keep your fandom in your pants. In perspective.
You real quick. Do you guys know what Stargate Infinity is?
No.
So, one has the most badass theme song I've ever heard in like a shitty serial television series. The whole premise was they wanted to make something related to Stargate, but they didn't have a way to do that. So they just kind of made it. It was probably like the year 3000-something. Mm-hmm. Earth has advanced to the point where they use Stargates for interstellar travel. And a task force goes through the Stargate to fight, aliens and stuff like that. So it was pretty much like G.I. Joe meets Stargate. And it was horrible. It was so bad that the company to this day does like blocks it from being streamed.
Oh,
and take
yeah,
it down
it's
from
a cartoon,
sites.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so bad. Funny. I love it. Like, I have more respect for that show than any of this new Matrix bullshit.
Wow.
I mean, like, that's not hard, honestly, considering how fucking awful that movie was.
That's what she said.
So, as opposed to going into, because you guys probably didn't watch this one video I share with you, keep getting worse.
I didn't watch it.
And I'll just
I don't disagree. And there's some aspects where I think they're a little out of touch, but I don't disagree. CW shows they have been on this a very slow burn downhill. Yeah, they've been circling the toilet. That's a good way of doing it. I'll put it this way. I'm obviously such a damn nerd, but I, to this day, cannot bring myself to watch any of the Black Lightning.
Yeah, that was not a good show.
Yeah, I can't bring myself to watch any of it. I like the fact that he was in the the Flashpoint thing. That was kind of cool. But I love Supergirl, but after they did the whole continuity change, that's pretty much where it killed it for me. When they did that, the almost a New 52-esque Flashpoint thing, I completely lost interest, because not only did you just reconstruct everything you've been building for the last 10 years, but you're also changing up some key aspects to characters that now make no sense.
I will say that the guy was spot on, and I'll tell you the CW shows I watched I watched the longest to the least, right? I watched Supernatural. I did not finish the season. I mean, the show, it just kind of, they lost me for a little bit. Arrow, and I agree with him, I think it was Arrow season 4 or 5, where it just kind of got really corny.
Is that the one where they killed off...
it was like when they started having all these like superpowered people show.
Yeah, there was one where they killed Black Canary off, and they added the new... His sister became White Canary. That's when that show started going like, okay...
Yeah, I'm good. I'm going to pass. Flash until like season 3 or 4, and I just stopped watching. I just didn't care. It was just kind of the same thing over and over again.
It was probably season 4 when he so-called was taken into the
Speed Force. Yeah,
That's where it killed. It died for me too.
Yep. Let's see, Supergirl. Actually, no. Supergirl and Black Lightning. I think I only watched one season of both because they were both garbage.
Season one of Supergirl is rough. Season two is great. Season three is
more mediocre. I was. But
the reason why season two is so good is because she has a lot of these crossover episodes with Flash and other characters. And it's just nice seeing a Superman-esque person in their world when there isn't one.
DC Legends of Tomorrow.
Chris walks away. He's like, fuck this.
He's like, I got it. DC Legends of Tomorrow. I barely watched a season, and then when I would watch it, it would be sporadic.
Is it because of how campy it was? It was super campy,
and it was...
God, you guys are still talking about that?
It was just awful. So I think if the formula they had was Supernatural and an Arrow, I was super engaged in both those shows because they were like gritty, down to earth, sci-fi, and like I could be like, oh, that could happen, or hey, I want to see how the story ends. But
even like Supernatural, I feel like reached a point where like the formula became
broke.
It became so predictable that it like it stopped being engaging. You know?
Yeah, the last...
Now, bear with me. Supernatural, it's its own thing, right? Like, it's not connected
to its own universe,
okay. Right? It's not...
Yeah.
Yeah, I have not seen... Well, I remember they did the crossover episode with Legends Tomorrow, which was okay.
Supernatural was really... Like, for someone who doesn't watch that show... I really enjoyed the first few seasons of Supernatural.
I watched it for a long time, except for the last season and a half.
And I don't even think I made it that far, but I did, like... Too. I liked it and enjoyed what I watched... You know, like, for me, the Supernatural stuff got to be a little heavy after a while. Like, and I think that was where... Yeah. I have to kind of pause.
I like what Andre did with the whole, you know, most watched to least watched thing. So let me do mine, and then I want to hear what Chris is... Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, some of these are not even going to be applicable for Chris, but I'm a little different in what I like in my storytelling. So for me, peak CW is Legends of Tomorrow. It blew me away... Like storytelling, I know. Listen. I'm a huge shill for Firestorm.
Yes.
And seeing how well they implemented that character is a very difficult character to bring into that kind of environment because he's so powerful.
I'm not knocking the characters because that was like probably my favorite character. And Hawkman was actually pretty decent. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Horrifically depressed what happened to Hawkgirl. Like, she was such a good character, and they just kind of like, bye. But what I like the most about Legends of Tomorrow is it's like they saw where everything was going with all the other shows, and they were getting too dark and too self-important, and they're like, we're just going to take these characters that you guys forgot and go do something with them. And I liked it because it was so original. It took, I guess, in reference to like DC in total, DC is at its best when they're not keeping to their own script and they're doing what ifs. Hence, you know, pretty much all of the DC movies and what they're trying to do, the flashpoints and all that. So that was, you know, I'm still watching that. Like,
God bless you.
It's become this thing where since I know it's going to be the last season, I'm just watching it one episode at a time every so often. Then the next one will be Flash, and that's because I was a huge Flash fan, and I was so ready to just see Reverse Flash in like physical skin, act, you know, doing stuff. And when he was on screen, it was great. And I think that's the one reason why I like Legends of Tomorrow, because he did a lot in season one and two, or season two and three. And
where was that, Flash? It was Flash at the tail end, or it was probably number three for me, right? Yeah.
Flash was number three for you. So Legends of Tomorrow, Flash, Arrow, which is funny because Arrow was actually the one I watched the most, and the one I rewatched the most. I think it's only three on that scale because I look back on it and after season five, it just felt like a really big chore. I needed to watch this to see where they're going to connect with other shows, so I can go watch those other shows and not feel like I've been left out of anything. And I think that's the biggest problem a lot of these CW shows had. They leaned too hard on Arrow. So when Arrow started getting tiresome, it became like, oh wait, now I got to pause my series and I got to wait till Arrow comes out and see what Arrow is doing. And it just became a chore. So Arrow, and then after that would be Supergirl. And I have not watched the last season of Supergirl, and I'm very afraid to, because I just know... One, I know it's a send-off. And two, I know that it's taking place in the new continuity, which I...
Dude, the last episode reviews, I can never watch that show. I can never just...
It is. It's the same reason why my wall is mostly Marvel. Is because DC has a really bad fixation on retconning everything whenever things get a little boring. Instead of just telling more stories or telling better stories, here we went through A, B, and C, now let's restart. I'm like, that's the reason why I get so tired of some of these Sony movies. Like, stop showing me the origin story.
That was what I actually really loved about, not to jump all the way back, but loved about the Tom Holland Spider-Man series. Was that they didn't bother to go back and be like, here's how he became Spider-Man. Like, if anything, now we're starting to get hints as to, like, his actual origin story within this universe, which is cool. In large part because we've seen the other ones do it twice already, right? Like, or other series do it multiple times.
If I'm correct, The whole idea of the origin of the spider bite and for the new Spider-Man, Tom Holland, was only mentioned twice, once in the first movie, once in the second movie, once in the third. I do like that because I don't need to see
Uncle Ben die again. It's just one of those things. Like
enough white people getting shot.
But really, you watch the first Spider-Man movie and you know that that's coming. Like if you're a Spider-Man fan, right? You know that scene is coming. You watch the second one. And you know that scene is coming. And so by the time that you get around to the third Spider-Man, even if I'm not a comic book fan, I've probably seen or at least am familiar enough with the movies, right?
My 6-year-old knows his origin without, and she can't fully read yet, or she doesn't read comic books. She just knows Spider-Man. Yeah. His uncle got shot.
Social media posts ever. I looked at my hand one day and I discovered that I had these two little like marks like right here. It looked like a spider bite. And so I posted a picture and I said basically something to the effect of, sorry, Uncle Ben. Yeah, I mean, because everybody knows that story. To give my, I guess, order of CW shows least watched to most watched, least watched would be Arrow.
Most watched to least watched.
Okay, well then most watched would be Arrow, and least watched would also be Arrow because it's literally the only CW show that I've watched of the like their superhero stuff. I haven't checked out any of the others. I loved Arrow. Was really into for probably the first two seasons or so, and then I don't know. It started to get a little on like the cheesy the side actor, of things, and so I kind of was like, eh.
Yeah.
Steven.
I want to say the act. Yeah. I think he did it.
He did his own stunts most of the
time. Taking a character.
I liked
him. Yeah. He did a wonderful job at taking a character that no one really knew much about, and a lot of people would consider him to be like a Bruce Wayne ripoff, like especially in the comic books.
So one of the things that I think actually helped
just seeing him take him
one of the
a different
things that
way
I think actually
nice.
Helped me to appreciate Arrow more. I was going to say was because wasn't Iron Fist released around the same time as Arrow?
No,
it was after
Iron Fist was after.
Well, then I guess it just made
Arrow
me
had no
appreciate
competition
Arrow
for a while.
That much think, more.
Was it three seasons? Was it three seasons? They had
something
nobody
like
to compete
but,
with?
But it was just one of those things where, like, especially after going back and watching Iron Fist, it was like Arrow did such a better job telling that first season story than Iron Fist did. And it's let's be honest, essentially the same story, right? Like, not ideally, but guy gets lost, everybody thinks he's dead, comes back, whoa, I'm running... you know, company now or whatever. Like,
I think what was interesting about Arrow when it came out was people were more concerned on how it would measure up to Smallville.
Sure. Oh, Smallville I didn't put that on my list, but yeah.
I've never watched a single episode.
That's untouchable. Yeah, that's untouchable.
Then there's something wrong with you.
It's no that Smallville.
Y'all used to watch Lois and Clark though, right? TNT.
Yeah, I watched it. I watched it when it was actually on TV on ABC.
Oh, no.
Chloe? Was that
Chloe? Yeah. From Smallville. Chloe?
Yeah. So her that actress actually got arrested
for
peddling drugs last year.
Okay.
Yeah, she looks like shit. I was really depressed to seeing that. I had the hots for her
I think
just the whole character, how adorable she was and everything, and it was like, hey, guess what? It just popped up in an article, and she's like, arrested for like X amount of counts of felony trafficking with heroin. And I was like, God damn it!
Do you guys ever used to watch the original Flash show back in the day?
Yeah, with Jason Garrett.
That's the first one I ever saw. That's the first
curious,
real
I'm
show
sorry.
I ever saw.
Like,
you know how much of a hard on I got when they freaking showed him in the actual show and he's behind the bars.
Mess up about that show is that it was like Tim Burton messed up everybody for superhero shows because they had to make the costume look like the Batman series. And it was just like, oh, that's weird. But okay. I'm going to watch it.
No, it was really cool seeing the Jay Garrett, Flash. Like, when they finally got ballsy and they're like, we'll bring the actual Jay Garrett.
That was dope. That was dope.
And then they hinted that his origin story was the one that we saw in the TV series. And I was like, thank God. I'm like, thank you for making that canon. I needed that to be canon.
I know we don't have anything else on the list, but I just gotta kind of go back to the first topic from pop culture. I guess, like, I did not realize that the Wachowski sisters were the Wachowski sisters now. I had no idea that happened.
But you did.
And so I was sitting here the whole time. I'm like, did that happen?
Why is he that saying
something?
That?
No, like,
why is
I
he...
mean, like, when you said it, I'm like, I must have missed something. And so, like, when I went to go see the movie and I saw the name, I'm like, oh, I literally thought it was a different person. Like, I assumed it was, like, a relative of theirs and not just, like, them coming back and making it again. Okay, so just to be clear, that makes this so much worse. Like, so that's... much worse. That it's that it was that's... them and it's their movie. And they still fucked it up that bad. Like, and just to be clear, I hope everybody, because Jesus Christ, like, I don't want somebody to come back and clip this up into something else. I am not saying that The Matrix is bad because they are trans women. Okay? Just to be very clear, I'm just saying I didn't realize that it was the same people that made the first three movies. So... like, y'all had a greater responsibility to that than, I mean, like, that's what, like, with Ghostbusters, right? You had Reitman's son that came in and did all this stuff in order to direct and produce it and stuff like
dude.
That. So, like, there's a level of separation. Yeah. But, like, these guys, like, these people, this
that's
was your
joint.
Like, this was your story that you told, and this was what you came in and told? this was the story that you walked out at the end, not out of the movie theater, but out of the editing room and went, damn, that's a good film. I mean, like, the first three, they were okay. But this one, we're going to have some people sweating. No. This was straight.
That's why I thought it was
garbage.
That's why I said it was a money grab, yo. Like, that's,
this was so much worse. Like it was just, this was what you thought Ghostbusters was gonna be. Like, I swear that's, and I'm not pointing that finger at you like accusatorily, but I'm just saying, like,
but you did.
But it is. But that's, I'm putting it away now. That is exactly, like, the things that you thought Ghostbusters were going to be. That is, I walked away from this and I'm like, my God, that's what this film was. This was, that's all it was. It was, remember this scene? Do you remember this scene from the first movie? Oh, do you remember the exile from the second movie? We didn't like them very much. You're not going to like them now either, but they're here. Like, it just, sorry. It was just, it was so bad. It was so bad. So bad. I was so upset. I was so upset when I walked out of that movie, because I really thought that it had a good chance at actually being like somewhat decent. Like, I really, and
Well, you just taught me
something. You don't want to do that?
That's what I'm.
No, I didn't know about the trans side.
I didn't either.
I had
not heard anything.
When I saw the name pop up on the screen, I'm like, oh, that's neat. There's another one.
Exactly.
And I just kept going.
Exactly.
just kept going.
Because this is like, this is the season of people remaking films of their relatives. And so
you guys are goofy clowns for that. I'm so disappointed. Because I was like, all right. So when I heard.
Okay. No. Hold on. Wait. Oh, speaking of goofy clowns, and especially transgender goofy clowns, they had so much to live up to in that respect. And they just dropped the ball
so fucking
hard. That's
what I'm saying. Like, I mean, again, this has nothing to do with them being trans. Like, their gender
has nothing to do with it, right? But
no, but the fact that they went, that is now, you add that into the situation,
when I heard the movie was coming out, right, I was like, the Wachowski sisters, I'm like, all right, let me look into that, right? Because that didn't make sense to me. I'm like, so didn't the brothers do it before? And I'm like, all right, and I looked into it. I'm like, oh, so they're both now trans women. Cool.
Yeah.
Got it. But then I saw only one of the sisters was going to produce and direct the other one. Like,
yeah,
so it was only one of them. And I was like, oh, that's weird. So maybe they had a disagreement about the movie. None of that was really clear. But then I was like, there's got to be something off about this movie, because if this was our gem and we knocked out of the park, I want to be part to. I want to make sure that we don't mess up that legacy.
No, I mean,
but that wasn't the case.
It's funny because that's exactly what they said.
In the movie. I mean, like, not to be somewhat flippant in the way that I'm describing this, but like, if you know, we stopped doing this show, right, and 5 years from now, we were like, we're going to do a reunion. You know, like, you wouldn't just be like, you know what, Chris, I mean, like, that's cool, we had fun and stuff, but I'll let you do that on your own. You do the Chris and Andre show, but just with Chris. I was going to say, you can have
worse.
Joe.
I show up by myself and take there. Over the show. It'll be the Chris and Andre show, but just me inviting other people onto the show.
Somebody, I feel like somebody who was like, you know, an assistant director or some associate producer or an original writer on the movie who wasn't one of the Wachowski sisters probably would have done a better job with this film. I do, like, to some degree, I feel like they were too close to that source material to be able to tell the story the way, and I will say this right now. Had I known that it was them going into it, my expectations would have been so much lower, only because I really did not enjoy the second and third movies, and those were them as well, right? Like, I would have sat there, I literally thought, somebody else is going to tell a better story with this, because they have a passion for this, but they aren't blinded by the fact that they are so directly attached to the original project, and
you're just arguing the George Lucas scenario because he was so close to it, he kept it.
When I decided that the Animatrix was better than
The Animatrix was great.
What?
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I still think about that. I still have memories of that dude's calf exploding.
God. When I decided that Animatrix 2 and... I mean, Animatrix was better than Matrix 2 and 3, I was like, well, they maybe just seem to, like, let this lie and just not mess with it anymore. But, you know.
That was a huge, like, thumbs up.
I remember the first time I did acid and watched the Animatrix.
Yeah.
And you never came out of it, huh? Fucking
God. So, and on that note, we are super glad everybody hung out with us today.
I'm glad you guys didn't talk about those two directors again.
I didn't bring I brought it up.
Oh, well, no. I mean, like, we had our debate publicly about it. And the public... Well,
No, back up. Well, man, Joe, thank you. Yeah.
Please.
On Twitter, your results were the exact opposite.
They were.
Is what they were on Instagram.
You're absolutely right. They were. Do you know who was the one person that voted for James Gunn being the worst director in the Instagram poll? It was your boy right here, because I hit the wrong button accidentally. Otherwise, it would have been 100%, 7 to nothing, Zack Snyder. So if we take the composite of the two polls, there are still way more votes for Zack Snyder, even including my errant vote for James Gunn. But look, I mean, ultimately, like, it was just more of trying to get some engagement and see how many people actually pay attention to what we do out there. We had more than I thought. I thought we'd get none, because we've gotten none in the past when I've done polls and stuff like that. So, I mean, like, at the end of the day, I think they're both terrible, right? Like, they're both terrible in their own right. That's the thing. I fucked up big time on that episode. This last week has not been my best focus week. You guys may know I broke my toe.
I saw that in pictures. I thought that was funny. I made a whole Blackfoot
and
joke.
So that, like, just really threw me off. I didn't get to put quite as much effort into this last week's episode because I was really, like, I was dead set on getting it out before the new year. And the video didn't quite make it because of stupid YouTube and its stupid upload and processing stuff. The audio version did. Anyways, I don't even remember why I was talking about that, but
you were going to say something about how you're
off
focus.
James Gunn is awful.
You started with a whole broken toe.
Yeah.
And then you apologize.
No,
to Andre
I would never do that.
You know, against never apologize.
But it's okay.
No, but
James
Gunn
is
both terrible directors.
I'm so glad that all three of us thought.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know, like, some of our best content apparently comes from when we disagree with each other. But I think, like, ultimately, the truth is, like, it's not about creating good content. It's about having honest conversations.
That
movie
the
was
Matrix
fucking
is
garbage.
A bad movie.
Like, it was really bad. Brothers,
it was,
sisters,
yeah.
Unite. It all fucking sucked. Like,
watch that IMAX.
I don't think it really matters which side of the fence you come from. It just, like, so disappointing. But, you know, I mean, like, look, there are some good movies out there. That's the good news, right? Like, No Way Home, which you still haven't seen. I think Joe and I would still agree. Still a good movie. I watched the first 20 minutes of Don't Look Up last night, and then I fell asleep.
How was that?
Well, I fell asleep 20 minutes in.
Oh,
you
fell asleep. Yeah, I was like...
That's the new Netflix movie
that?
With it's Adam McKay, and it's got, like, everybody and their
everybody.
Mom. It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence are astronomers who locate a comet that is going to, or an asteroid that's going to make impact with Earth in, like, 6 months. Yeah. But Meryl
again?
Streep is the president, hell? But she's basically, like, a certain president.
And Jonah Hill is the VP.
Well, no,
something?
He's the chief of staff, but he's also her son.
I did see that picture on Netflix. I was like, "What?"
I will
saw Jonah
say
Hill.
That
like,
was
oh,
part of the reason
that?
I think
and
that I did
on.
Not enjoy the first 20 minutes of it because there's, like, this long Oval Office scene with Meryl Streep and Jonah Hill, and it just reminded me of a certain somebody and what would have happened if we'd actually had this type of catastrophic event occur during the last, I don't know, 5 years. And so that, like, it was a little too close for comfort. Like, there was.
Yeah.
Wait, did Jonah Hill actually try to play it straight?
I don't understand.
Like, he tried to play his character straight. Like, he wasn't trying
no,
to
No, I mean, it was Jonah Hill.
Well, the trailer, she's got a lot of sarcasm.
Yeah, it's very sarcastic.
Like,
Yeah. No. So basically, okay. Like,
at least there's some Jonah in there. I was afraid that it was just Blaine.
Again,
Plain Jane, famous guy.
This is my first 20 minutes of the movie review, right, of these two characters. No, I know, but I'm just saying, like,
that's what it says.
Meryl Streep basically seems like a female Donald Trump, is the way that they play it. Mm. And Jonah Hill is her son in the film, who has also now been hired on as her chief of staff, which is something that I could totally have seen Donald Trump doing in his second term, being like, Eric, you're my chief of staff. Mark Meadows, go write your book. Anyways, it was too, like, there were too many moments in there where I'm sitting there going, nah, as funny as this kind of is, it would have been funnier 20 years ago when I didn't see this as a legit possibility within the White House. But now I'm watching all of this and going, no, like, this is probably exactly what the fucking pandemic was like, where it's like, is it really that big of a deal? Do we really need to worry about it?
So that makes more sense.
Yeah, it's just too much reality based. It's too much depressing reality. Like, I just,
I feel you, man. Whenever I watch Aliens, I think I'm back in Walmart.
Are you sure you don't mean Men in Black?
No.
Those characters in that movie look like they shop at Walmart.
I'm hungry. Yeah, I'm hungry. I didn't have Bowberry biscuits in the air fryer.
I haven't eaten shit.
See, you think I'm crazy for eating food on the podcast.
But let's go ahead.
I'm out of beer, so I got
to go. Andre came here to talk about politics and to drink beer, and I'm all out of beer.
So next week.
I'm all out of beer.
I'm all out of politics. No. So next week we're going to be talking about
I gotta see how this week goes. I'll tell you.
No, I mean, I understand, no hard commitments, but if you get the chance.
The reason why I'm staying, like, now I'm, like, trying to stay, like, super close to the Cribbos, like, we were exposed to the COVIDs, so I took a COVID test today. Yo, that took a long time. How can we be the most advanced country in the world? It took an hour and 20 minutes to get through PNC to get a test, and that's the only place you can get a test. So,
PCR test?
Waiting for my COVID test. And I'm trying to, like, play that close to the chest.
Well, hopefully, not jokingly in any way, but, like, hopefully it's Omicron, because I've heard that while it is more easily transmissible, it is also significantly less impactful. So should you guys...
Well,
negative would be the best result. I'm just saying, worst case scenario, I hope you guys are... ultimately, it doesn't really matter. You guys are vaccinated, you've been boosted, so you've got the absolute best opportunity to handle whatever comes your way, which is great. And that's all
I'm not trying to give anybody the kudos. Yeah. So trying to be a responsible...
I was
going to
say, that's very socially responsible of you.
Yeah. So I've been trying to stay away from the cooties, and somehow we were around somebody with the cooties, and, like, really...
See, if you'd have had your cootie catcher with you...
Yeah, I know, right? So I'm, like, trying to low-key, like, all right, so got to make sure I don't have the cooties, and then I can hopefully see that movie this weekend.
Ooh, circle, circle, dot, dot, now I got my cootie shot.
Now, I know, I have my cootie shot, man.
Circle, circle, line, now I have it all the time.
So we're super glad you joined us. If you're listening to us on SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pandora, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, and actually our TuneIn listeners have been growing, so we really do appreciate that.
Yeah, but
that.
What the fuck are you guys doing? Get over to YouTube and fucking subscribe, you assholes. No, I'm just kidding. We love you guys. Keep listening.
Yeah, we really do. If you're watching us on YouTube, please subscribe, hit that like button, and...
Ding!
Subscribe to all the notifications by hitting that bell. If you're adventurous, go to our website, chrisandreshow.com, and you'll find our RSS feed where you can actually...
Adventurous.
Where they are contemplating the slap bracelets we talked about.
We're actually doing a redesign of our website and going to do some... We will definitely be launching a swag and merchandise shop. I actually want to say merch because... Swag has been overused.
Yeah.
Swiggity,
swiggity, swiggity merch.
Just please, for love of God, develop a clown porn pin.
I mean, we might have to at this point.
It'd be a picture of a corn. It'd be a picture of a corn on the cob because, you know, TikTok corn, they can't say porn because it's censored. So a corn on the cob with clown makeup on it.
Hey, Joe, you design it, we will make it.
How's that? Follow us on Facebook and see what we're doing on Twitter at Chris and Andre. If you have any questions or comments for the show, please hit us up at comments@chrisandreshow.com.
I know that Andre always hates to promote our Instagram feed, but we're also on Instagram at chrisandreshow.com. Wait, no, just the Chris and Andre show. But yeah, like I try to post to all of our channels simultaneously, but there are certain channels where certain things are easier to get out, I will say.
Yeah. And we, if you like our content, you know, like, share, blah, blah, blah. Tell us you like it. It's okay.
You really like me.
But we really do appreciate everybody that's been hanging out with us on this journey. It's been like close to 2 years.
Over two years and 1 week and 2 days. No, I don't.
Yeah, and it just felt like 2 years for me as my receding hairline starts developing.
Just gotta get that little.
You can find a little trim. You can find Fire Guy Show at on TikTok and
show Fire Guy Joe. Yeah, Fire Guy Joe on TikTok. We're almost at 400 followers.
Yeah, help Joe get to 400 followers. Come on,
really,
everybody.
Yeah, I want to get to 4. I want to get 420 so I can do a special episode on that.
That's a great number.
Just because I like the number, no reason.
That. I'll tell you what. If you are the 420th follower to Fire Guy Joe on TikTok, you will get a free Chris and Andre Show shirt. No, sticker. How about a sticker? That's a lot cheaper. Nah, you won't get a corn pin. That'll take us a little bit longer. But we do. Stickers are en route. They should be here not too long. So I will. Yeah, if. Joe, you let me know who your 420th follower is on TikTok, and we will arrange to send them a free sticker.
It won't be hard for me to figure out. I comment and mention every single one I find. So I stalk their profiles, make videos on them.
I'll make my TikTok profile, and that way we don't have to send it to anybody.
Nice. It'd be like Chris and Andre show following.
Oh,
like,
nice. What the fuck? Nice. I don't mess around with the social medias too much.
You can always
whatever.
Get
he likes to
me.
Show up on Twitter and like post some shit and then just recede back into the background like it's not him. And then so like you'll notice I started signing all of my posts, Chris.
The prince comes down from this.
Yeah, no. The prince comes down from this. Like, I think I'm gonna get back into the social media a little bit. Help you promote it, and I'm like, all right, cool. Well, that's cool. And then like I log in, and I'm like, he's like picking a fucking fight with this guy. Like, what the fuck? This isn't helping. I thought he was gonna like tweet some episodes out. Nope, I'm just gonna.
No, he's all about rule by two. Well,
I
mean,
I'm working on how I want it. Like, actually, probably next week we'll talk about, like, some of my evolving views on social media. But you can always reach me at Andre@chrisandreshow.com and Chris at...
chrisandreshow.com. Wait. I see what he's saying.
Did. You did a good job.
Like, the first half of my email address, and you were just meaning, like, you could reach Chris at... And I'm saying Chris at Chris.
And again, Fire Guy Joe on TikTok.
Who the
Fire
fuck
Dad
do you think
Bob
you are interrupting
Instagram.
The host of the show when he is giving out his email address?
I feel like my. Color,
I mean, it does here content. Live, you know, but do remember that I am the one that edits these, so I get to make it look however I want.
Oh man, is that going to affect my
because
page?
You don't get one.
All right, you guys cut it out. As always, I'm Andre.
And I'm still this other guy on the other end of the freaking mic.
With a broken toe. We'll talk to you next time.
With a broken toe.
You guys are like two cats.
Yeah, I love it.